want to participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Sacramento, California. Hello.
Larry King, I want to commend you on your choice of suspenders tonight.
It's just black.
I know it. This quality, though. This money that belongs to the Iraqi people, can they get that back from Saddam? And are we going to get Don and Mike on the Armed Forces Radio over in Iraq?
Good question. That's a good question. Nick. Christopher, can they get the money some way to send that money back to the people? He probably took it from them.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink. They use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
I got a tape for you. Before I play you the tape, I want to tell you something. Yesterday, maybe the day before, when the story came up about niggardly, the word niggardly,
right.
Which... until the story came out in the news, I had never heard of the word.
No, I
had
neither. Actually, that's what actually put that word in the headlines.
Right? I didn't know that the word niggardly meant to be cheap, to be miserly. Then I told you that I saw on the Today Show when they were interviewing the guy who got in trouble for using the word niggardly, that they had mentioned that Procter & Gamble's gotten all kinds of complaints because of the name of their products, Spick and Span.
That's right, because I guess there's just this this major PC upheaval right now.
Mm-hmm. This is the one. That is the nail in the coffin.
There's another one now?
Listen to this. Now, you got kids who watch Sesame Street. Your girls are both very little.
Yeah, they love Sesame Street.
It's been a long time since my kids watched Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I know that Sesame Street's an important part of kids learning stuff because our schools suck so bad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Cookie Monster.
Yeah, what's he doing?
They're changing him.
Why?
No. Yes, they are.
Why?
They're changing him because they're afraid that it's giving kids... the image, the eating cookies, is good. So they are changing Cookie Monster to Fruit Monster. I'm not making this up.
Oh,
I'm not making this up. This is not a bit. I saw this on the news.
Cookie Monster's like...
No.
An icon.
They were doing a story saying, go out and get all the Cookie Monster merchandise you can, because Cookie Monster is being phased out and will be replaced now by Fruit Monster.
Fruit Monster.
Right, because cookies are bad for kids.
I'm going to buy a Cookie Monster and put it in the closet for a rainy day.
What is wrong with people?
That is so... you know,
Fruit Monster, Spick and Span, Niggardly.
It's like, you know what it is? It's like that lady that called. It's like energy's being directed where they shouldn't be. And you know, we've got so many problems in our society that we need to take care of. But no, you know what it is? I just figured it out.
What?
Things are going good. Things are going good. That's why the president's approval rating is up. Things are going great. So now people have the time.
Worry about the Cookie Monster.
So focus on crap like that.
Yeah. And do you think that means he's going to be gay if he's the Fruit Monster?
Excuse me, I'm the Fruit Monster. No, I think Big Bird cornered that market.
Just one Big Bird is gay?
Always have.
What about Ernie?
Ernie, no. No, not Ernie.
Bert?
No, not Bert or Ernie. No, never thought so. No.
Oh, you know who really is a homo, though?
Yeah.
Who's the human? That's on that show, the guy that wears the Mr. Rogers sweater?
Yeah, I see. You know, I kind of watch... I watch, actually... this is going to be terrible.
Is his name Bob?
It is Bob.
Bob?
Yeah. And Gordon.
What about Bob?
Gay Bob.
What's that?
Gordon and Maria, too.
Now, how in the name of God do you know this? Now, I know you have a useless brain with useless facts.
Sesame Street premiered when I was like two.
So you're a regular watcher.
I was a regular watcher and still am.
Okay, that's cool. That's your age. That's true.
I watched it when Terrell Davis was on. It was funny. They had all of the... all the puppets dressed up in Broncos uniforms. and they were singing a song, right? And it was Terrell Davis up there with all the Muppets. And then the Muppets started going, "You're the man." And then Terrell Davis would go, "No, you're the man, you're the man." And then the Muppet that's the football,
right?
He went, "I'm the football." And they all laughed.
Great. They still hold up. They do. They still hold up. I don't know whether this makes me a bad parent or all, but it just seems to me that My kids watch a lot more of the Teletubbies than they should. You know, they're watching more Teletubbies than they are. At least the littlest one is watching more, you know, Tinky Winky, La La, Po.
Faggot, bite my butt.
And Dipsy.
I'd worry about
anything.
That.
Yeah, you know, but it's supposed to be good for them.
Paging Dr. Homo. Paging Dr. Homo. We need you in the air studio. Stat.
That hasn't crossed your wire, Buzz, about them changing the Cookie Monster to Fruit Monster?
No, and I'm shocked to hear that. I mean, kids are not going to stop liking cookies just because the Cookie Monster changes his name.
Fruit Monster.
No kidding.
I mean, they're plenty. They get that plenty of places.
That's sick.
All right. Well, that's what's wrong with people.
God,
that ends my lecture for right now. That's what's wrong with people.
Are they going to make Little Bear vertically challenged bear now?
Spick and span.
Oh, man.
Fruit Monster.
Has the whole world gone mad?
Somebody in Sacramento sent us a tape that I want to play for you.
Okay.
A tape we've never heard before, but we've heard about.
Right.
When one of the TV stations there was doing a satellite interview with Larry Zeiger.
Okay.
The Frog, when he was promoting that last ridiculous book that he wrote.
Right.
And the host asked Zeiger about us.
Oh, very good.
Okay. So this was finally sent to us by, I don't know which TV station it is. It's the one that has that guy Mark S. Allen doing the morning show.
Yeah, we've got a lot of supporters at that TV station. We appreciate it.
So we're doing the thing where Larry King is the disembodied head in the TV set.
Hi.
In the satellite.
Okay.
And this starts off with a little bit of Larry King. Robbie, is this the cut where he's talking about what a good interviewer he is?
Oh, yes.
Okay, all right. And then he gets into where they ask him about us.
So he's doing a local TV interview where ego should be like in full gear.
Here you go.
As an interviewer, though, the difference is I talk much less. The good interviewer should be heard very little. I ask one-sentence questions.
Right.
I try to be as curious. And the key, of course, as you know,
curious.
Is listening. The key is not the question you ask, but how you listen to the answer you get. And if you don't listen, you're dead.
We're listening attentively as you speak.
Hey, Larry, there's a syndicated radio show that's huge here in town called the Don and Mike Show. I know they're huge fans of yours. They're coming to town. Could you send us an autographed copy of your book that we could pass on to them?
Wait a minute. You're telling me Don and Mike will read a book about prayer? Okay.
Yeah.
Give them this message.
Okay.
Okay? Tell them both to pray for civility and class.
Ooh.
Yes, give him God a job,
words.
Boy.
Thanks, Larry.
Oh. Hey, kudos to the local TV guy.
And that's Channel 31.
Way to go, Channel 31.
Good day, Sacramento.
You know he hates that. You know he hates that.
He goes all the way, he goes, I'm doing a satellite interview with Sacramento today. And the last thing he thinks is going to be brought up is our name.
That's right.
That's fantastic. I wish they would pray. What do you want us to pray for?
Pray for civility and class. You know, right. That's kind of the theme that we have with Larry. That's you know, he always gives you those, you know, and I hope they'll marry more.
And what about the crap at the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious. It's important to be a good listener. Larry King is like the worst softball interviewer in the history of the world.
Yeah,
right?
Well, you know, he's amazing because his shoulders can actually touch together in the back, you know, and in the front.
I'm here with Adolf Hitler. Your hair.
Ah, it's amazing. You're not losing any of it?
I'm here with Saddam Hussein. Tell me something. Oreos or Hydrox cookies? Can you tell the difference?
How many uniforms do you have? Do you wear one every day? Do you change uniforms very often?
That's Larry.
Very curious. And I listen to the answers. If he says 100, I said, that's a lot. And then I ask him about which one's his favorite.
I'm here with Genghis Khan. Question. Are you related to Sammy Khan?
When you beheaded people, did you ever do it yourself? Or did you have someone do it for you?
I'm here with Napoleon. Question. Lifts in your shoes? What do you think about Danny DeVito playing you in the movies? I mean, he could talk to the biggest monsters in history.
Right. I'm here with Charles Manson. The crazy stare at the camera. Did it require a lot of practice?
Yeah. I'm here with Jeffrey Dahmer. What's your favorite McDonald's hamburger?
One sentence questions, and then I'm a good listener. It's Larry King. I'm very curious. Larry from the corner.
Larry.
As an interviewer, though, the difference is I talk much less. A good interviewer should be heard very little. I ask one-sentence questions.
Right.
I try to be as curious, and the key, of course, as you know,
curious.
Is listening. The key is not the question you ask, but how you listen to the answer you get. And if you don't listen, you're dead.
We're listening attentively as you speak.
And you know, he breaks. I like that anchor. I like that anchor because you can tell. You know what he's doing? And these are people, whoever that, you know, wherever they are, everybody's in this business trying to make a living.
Sure.
And you get guys like Larry that preach, that are talking from, as though they are talking from the Sermon on the Mount.
Mm-hmm. I'm Larry.
Yeah. Larry King. Let me tell you what a good interview is. You know, because they happen to be local, that's right. Why he's talking to them like that.
I'm national.
Down to him.
Donald and Ivana Trump on tonight. Your phone call's next.
Hey, Larry, there's a syndicated radio show that's huge here in town called the Don and Mike Show. I know they're huge fans of yours. They're coming to town. Could you send us an autograph?
Now, what does he say right there, Rob?
Arr.
What does he say?
I think he says, I know them. Or something
like I know them.
Arr.
I know them.
That's probably just an automatic reaction when he hears our names.
Oh.
A copy of your book that we can pass on to them.
Wait a minute. You're telling me Don and Mike will read a book about prayer? Okay.
Yeah.
Give them this message.
Okay.
Okay. Tell them both to pray for civility and class.
Ooh.
That's giving God a job,
words.
Boy.
Thanks, Larry.
And then they go off camera and he goes, I'm never doing that goddamn show again.
You bet. That's what he said.
How dare they ask me about Don and Mike?
Why do I do these interviews?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, yeah. Can I talk to Don and Mike?
Yes, you are on the air. Hello there.
I have nothing to say.
Okay. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
You guys are going to be his final fatal heart attack.
Who, Larry King?
Yeah, Larry King. You know, when the guy said, Larry King, you know, we got the Don and Mike Show down here, and he goes, I think that was his heart, like, you know, stopping for a second. That's what it sounded like to me over there. But,
all right, thank you.
Hey, no problem. Have a good day, gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
That's why you went, Don and Mike,
I wish crabs on anybody that calls and dares to disrespect
but
the show.
But not normal crabs. Really, like killer crabs from outer space.
Yes.
Real nasty crab. Crabs that
killer
really
crotch crabs.
They really take bites out of people.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling from Spokane. Just finished my tuna salad sandwich.
Was that a little of it that you? Was that a little bit of it that you coughed
yeah,
up there?
a little flimage, and just wondering how the toe fungus was today.
You know, I forgot to bring in the toenails.
Oh, damn.
Sorry about that.
Damn, because I was going to ask you if I could keep it over the weekend to bring to my friend, to show my friend. Here it is. It's in the baggie.
Hello.
Right next to my cigars.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Monday, then?
Okay, remind me. Okay. Call me, remind me over the weekend.
All right. Please don't.
Hello.
All right.
Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Okay, your toenail. You keep it around for curiosity? I'm very curious. One sentence questions, and then I'm a good listener.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Yeah, buddy.
Loyal listener or world saver? I can do both, buddy.
Right on, man. What the hell's the guy talking about?
I have no idea.
That woman.
What woman?
The woman that expected the Liddy Show to continue right on into the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, listen, I'm so sick of people like that that call us up. People who, you know, when the shows change, what I mean is at 3 o'clock when Liddy's show goes off or whatever show goes off before us,
right.
Everybody out there's got the option to change the station.
That's of course
the,
they do.
That's the lamest excuse in the world. Those people that call and complain after they've listened to the show for a half hour and are still listening,
right.
Hey, listen, I got news for you. You qualify as listeners.
She sticks around to listen to our show. The only
right.
change would be she probably slips out of her stained blouse.
Right. I don't care if you love me or if you hate me, but if you listen, that's the objective.
Right on.
Right on.
Right on.
Right on. Crabs to all those who dare criticize this show.
Killer crabs from outer space.
Killer crabs, Mike.
Wait, you know, somebody calls, criticizes this show at about 6 o'clock this evening. Oh, this is an itch. It's more than an itch. It's a burn. It's something's biting me. My God.
I wish somebody told me a good curse today.
Really?
Somebody up in the third floor told
good
me.
Good curse word?
No, a good curse to put on somebody.
Oh, like an evil curse.
Yeah. So what I got to do is start getting the names of these listeners that call and want to give us a hard time. They say what you do is take a piece of paper, write a person's name down.
Right.
On a little slab of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Then you put that little slab of paper like in an ice cube tray.
Right.
And then you fill it up with water and you put it in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And when it freezes, that puts a curse on that person for as long as the ice is in the freezer.
But all curses, you have to be extraordinarily careful because all of that kind of stuff, if it's not done for the right reasons, it comes around. It comes back around.
Really?
Now, look, I know you got that gleam in your eye, but you got to be very careful.
Look at the
curses.
Name that's already been written down for me. How can you argue with that name?
That, to me, is a noble cause.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And the name is? Andy Rice. WJFK Employee of the Week, Andy Rice.
The first cube.
There it is.
The first cube. There'll be an ice. There'll be a freezer full of those ice cubes.
I could fill a whole freezer with that.
I know.
Plug in this ice. And see, the thing is, in my heart, I would be justified.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody I hate.
Right.
In my heart, mm-hmm. I hate them for all the right reasons.
Well, I was watching that movie. Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Yes.
And you know when the lady puts the curse on, and
is that with Kevin Spacey?
That's with Kevin Spacey, and she
talks
about.
Clint Eastwood. Didn't he direct that or something?
He directed that, I believe he did. Mm-hmm. I think so. Or maybe that was the Bridges of Madison County that he directed. I don't know. No. But anyway, that's with John Cusack too.
Oh right.
In that movie, and the lady who's performing the curses always says you have to be careful because it comes back around, and it, you know, it's in the afterlife and all that weird stuff that you have to do. So curses are very, very powerful and dangerous stuff.
Oh, that's just a movie, Mike. This was a real curse that was told to me by somebody up on the third floor today.
Our curses. Write their name down, put it in an ice cube tray.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as it freezes,
right?
Like they run their car into a pole or something.
The curse.
Fantastic curse.
The curse of the freezer.
It's a great curse. Hey, listen, what do you want? Are you still there?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Buzz something.
Okay, go ahead.
Buzz.
Yes, sir.
Three choices.
Mm-hmm.
Ditka, Bob Marley, or Mr. Ed? The song.
Now, those are awful choices for Buzz's song today.
Yeah, Bob Marley, come on.
Mr. Ed, please.
I was trying to make him think a little.
Uh-huh. No, I got it here. Do it like Larry King.
All right. Okay.
All right, Buzzy? Here you go.
Ready.
Here's Buzz's daily song.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you for coming to Lowe's. Sit back and relax. Enjoy the show.
There you go.
Bravo. Bravo.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's up, man?
How many people do you think right now are writing my name down on a little piece of paper and running to their refrigerators?
In the tens of thousands right now.
You know, I don't think it would work, though, because I told you about that curse.
Well, who knows?
I think you'd have to come up with your own curse.
I think you got
to
read up over the weekend.
I believe what I'm doing is invalidating the curse on anybody else using it on me because I told you about it.
You might have to go out during the break and stand on the street and just yell, Booyah!
Booyah!
All right, hello.
Hey, Don. Hey. This is Chris the ex-con.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, remember I used to call you all the time?
Are you the guy who used to call us from jail?
Yeah, all the time.
Hey, he called her in the big community room, right, where all the other inmates were?
That's it. Mm-hmm. We used to sing for y'all and stuff like that.
Sure.
Christmas time. Hey, I've been trying to call, but I've been working all the time. I work right down the street from y'all. And I think y'all, Dennis was on it the other day, and y'all were talking about, one guy said, you know, when they had that hand transplant, well, you know, would he be gay if he was, you know, and then y'all got into, you know, that discussion, right? And I was going to tell you, there's a trick, right, in prison what the guys do. It's a good trick, right? Instead of the normal way, just try flipping your hand over and doing it like that. It makes it feel like someone else is doing it.
Okay, all right.
You know,
hey,
a guy that's in the big house, I guess you got to learn all the ways, right?
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Prison trick.
What? Hello? Don Mike.
Hi, who's it?
This is Don and Mike.
Well, hello, Don. This is a real great fan of yours. I wanted to ask you a question.
My God, I hope you're not behind the wheel of a car.
I think he is, Mike. I think he's driving a school bus right now.
As a matter of fact.
Yeah, I'm driving a school bus. I want to talk to the guys.
There you go.
Yeah.
Question is, if you got to replace Imus in the morning, but the only agreement was that you had to move to New York, would you all go?
We've been offered jobs in New York before. No, this is where we're raising our families, is here, in D.C.
All right, just curious.
But I've heard the rumors about him being out also. Thank you for validating those rumors.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Okay.
So long. You kids be quiet. I'm going to really stop at the next stop sign. I'm going to really hit the brake.
Hello, John and Mike Show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, you know, I know why people are starting to bust Larry King's chops every time he gets an interview.
Is everybody seriously calling the show today? Is everybody under some serious medication? It sounds to me like the last 8 calls we have taken.
I got a question for you guys.
I think it's a car phone factor. I think it's the bad cells.
4 beers.
All right,
boy. Look at that, Mike.
You nailed it.
It's not the bad car phones.
How are you doing, guys?
It's Friday, everybody.
I'll tell you kids, settle down.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey there.
Hey.
How's it going today?
Just fine, thanks.
Jeez, I'd love to talk to Don and Mike. I got something really interesting to tell them. I'm a commercial fisherman. You still there?
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Oh. Who do you think you're talking to right now?
Oh, Don and Mike?
Is that a question mark on the end of that?
I'm not really too sure.
So there's a question mark on the end of that, too.
Well, anyway, I'm a commercial fisherman, and today I was...
Surprise.
...on an island called...
Surprise that you're not like the president of some technology company. Surprise, you're a commercial fisherman. Shocker.
Shocking.
Up here in Maine.
Shocker.
The water's freaking freezing. Anyway, the name of the island is called Tubush.
Tubush Island?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you see anything interesting on Tubush Island?
A lot of sea urchins, some scallops, lobsters.
Perhaps the Beatrice Arthur family compound up there.
Goodbye. Goodbye. That guy was the Bill Gates of fishermen, though. Cutting edge, man.
Coming by the island, you see Beatrice, you know, on the rocks, sunning herself.
Boosh. To Boosh Island.
To Boosh Island.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, Radio God.
Hi there.
The
of course, the theory. You know, you're wondering why it's two bushes.
Hold
two
on.
Bush, one in the front, one in the back. There you go. Okay. Yes, go ahead, sir.
Did you see in the Washington Post today that the FDA is in a quandary over what to name the new tampon?
I did not see that.
That's wild stuff.
It's back in the
tampon
section, and they're beside themselves. They don't know what to call it, and they're looking for help, and I thought that they should have called you if they wanted help.
To rename a tampon? Well, a tampon is a tampon, right?
Yeah.
Wait, wait, do you mean a name brand for a tampon? Or
no, no, no. They've got to give it a category. Is it going to be a super soaker or some category name so they'll be able to administer it properly?
What the hell is this guy talking about?
I don't know. Is he making the transition to get on his school bus right now? I'm not sure.
I didn't
see that come across your wire, did you, Buzz?
No, sir, I didn't.
I think he just wanted to use his super soaker line. That's the sole purpose of that call.
Our correspondent just hung up. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Do you guys ever try putting saran wrap on your TV screen?
Saran wrap on the TV screen?
Why would we do that?
When you're watching your Nog...
When you're what?
When you're watching your Nog movies, you know, put saran wrap on the TV screen.
What do you mean by Nog movies?
Yeah, pornography.
Nog.
Watching the Nog.
Okay, see, sometimes you just have to...
Oh, you know what? I just figured out what this guy's talking about. Why you would put the saran wrap on the TV screen.
Well, it streaks, you know. It really...
Oh,
boy, that's... you know, and
Jesus Christ.
Don't you still get radiation from TVs?
Yes.
And this guy especially.
It is a good tip.
How close are you sitting to the television?
Oh, well,
he's
right
on
there.
It. So that's somebody who really wants to get into the action.
Yeah.
The triple X-rated action.
Imagine that.
And calling it Nog. That's a nice new, new code
like
word.
Then I like to poop in the bathrooms at display bathrooms.
Okay. Hello. Oh, it's the same guy.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, yes. I like to comment on all those jerks who are ragging on Don and Mike.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I've put a curse on all of them. I've written all their names down on pieces of ice cubes.
We've had a freezer brought in here.
Oh, and you don't even know you're on the air.
Hello?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Were you listening to what we just said?
Hello? Hey, damn dummy, hello?
I'm dumb. Simply too challenged to finish the call.
And this guy's a fan of ours, right? This is not a guy that's calling in to give us a hard time.
I'm afraid so.
Yes, sometimes the challenge simply too much.
He's fascinated by the radio.
See, as someone who can't figure out how come what he's saying is not coming out of the radio for 10 seconds later.
Yeah, at the end of the week, I think there's a lot of brain swellage out there. There really is. At the end of the week, a lot of people get done, and then there's the 4%. You know, they're bitter all the time. But the people that have had that full week, the brain is just so swollen when they get out of work. I'm going to call Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, good. What's going on with all these calls today? It's crazy.
Crazy, it's cuckoo, man.
You just felt like you had to join in too, right?
Well, no, I listen to you every day, and it's extra crazy today.
Extra crazy?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I drive a limo.
It's like Colonel Sanders, extra crispy. Today it's extra crazy.
And another person that's you know, behind the wheel with lives at stake.
No, I don't have any lives at stake right now.
Yeah, you will later, though, won't you?
No, I'm on my way home.
Oh, you're on your way home. Good.
Beautiful. Okay. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Everybody else on the road should worry.
Goodbye. Mm-hmm. Okay. That really, I know I say this a lot, but this is the last call that we're ever going to take in our career. For the next 5 years of our contract, no more calls.
Here we go.
So this is it. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
Hey, you all are on Las Vegas, right?
Yes, sir.
I'd just like to say one thing to Robert Knievel. Damn you. Damn you. I sat there for a half an hour, watched those computer-generated crashes, just waiting for you. Just a crash.
Oh, you're
coming to the earth until I saw your little girls singing. Damn you. Damn you.
You're bitter that he made it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
that's what it was. He's angry, and his brain also swelling.
Last call we'll ever take. We'll be right back to fill the rest of the show with just our chatter. Great last call.
Woo!
Okay, coming right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show, Don and Mike Show, Don and Mike Show. On 11, Don and Mike Show on 11. Don and Mike Show, Don and Mike Show on 11, going off the street. Don and Mike Show, Don and Mike Show, Don and Mike Show. Where is Jaka? Where is Jaka? Where is Jaka? Dormey do. Where is Lava? Where is Lava? Don. Where is Don? Where is Don? Here I am. Where is Ron? Where is Ron? Oh, my dude, oh, my dude. Where is Mike? Where is Mike? Here I am. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Where is Don? Where is Mike? Here we are, the Don and Mike Show. Where is Lisa? Where is Lisa? Where is Jeff? Where is Jeff? Here we are. Producers of the Don and Mike Show. Here we are. Where is Buzz? Here I am. Where is Charlie? Charlie Boyle. Where is Robbie? Here I am. Don't make me. The Don and Mike Show. On WJFK, 106.7, 11-3.
The Don and Mike Show. Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
A celebrity.
Okay, Ellie, now that's the way you should do it. Okay.
His real name is J. Scott Greenspan. His occupation is an actor. He went to BU, Boston University, and he's an accomplished dancer and an opera singer.
Are we allowed any other questions, or do we have to just immediately try to guess?
Give me a guess.
David Schwimmer.
Buzz?
Alec Baldwin.
Nope. Jason Alexander.
Jason Alexander.
Real name? J. Scott Greenspan.
Man, and an opera singer. I'd like to hear that.
Yeah.
George, sing the aria.
Okay, here's an easy one. You're going to get this one in instantly.
Okay.
Real name? Alan Stewart Quisenberg. Actor,
right.
Writer, director, pedophile. Like playing password with you.
Actor, writer, director.
A pedophile by marriage.
Pedophile by marriage.
You got a buzz?
Yes.
Yeah, who?
Woody Allen.
Yes.
Oh, what was the full name?
Alan Stewart Konigsberg.
Wow.
Okay.
Boy, I'm 0 for 2. See, you put pressure on me when you say I'll get it right away.
Let me see.
Okay. Here's an easy one. Everybody knows this one.
Well, you said the last one was, too, and I blew it.
Jennifer Aniston. What showbiz legend is her godfather?
Oh, I know she's got famous roots. He's a director, I think.
Who is her godfather?
Oh, she's got a famous father, for starters, so the godfather...
I'll give you a hint. He's dead.
He's dead?
And he had a TV show. A detective show.
Was it, okay, wait a minute. Hold on.
William Conrad.
Nope.
Kelly Savalas.
Yep.
Ah! And isn't her father famous, too?
Yeah, he's on Days of Our Lives.
Okay.
Right. That's it.
Yeah.
George
he loves you, baby.
George Clooney is famous, too. His father's famous, too. He's on that, but he's as phony as Bill Curtis and Jack Perkins.
Okay. Canadian.
Okay.
Canadian, right. Boo. Right, Riley.
I know these, though. I know Canadians.
Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Comedian.
Right.
Movie actor.
Mm-hmm.
Gotten worse in every movie. And this one should give it to you instantly.
Okay.
He's gotten fatter in every movie he's ever been in.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yes!
Yeah. The fatter. The Last Clue was the one that got it for me. They got it for me. I was, right up into that point, I had Rick Moranis.
I had Martin Short, you know, up to that point.
You know the funniest thing, though, Rick Moranis does?
What?
They still do. They go back to Canada, and they still do those Molson commercials with Bob and Doug McKenzie. And
oh, you think that's funny?
Oh, God. I think that if you like hockey, they're the funniest commercials. Okay. When they do the thing with Guy Lafleur, hey, what's that mean, eh? Is that like tough guy, eh? He says, no, it stands for flower. Hey, okay, eh?
Rock singer.
Yes.
Not American. Real name, Paul Hewson.
Rock singer, not American, real name, Paul Hewson.
Yeah, he's won a lot of Grammys. Grammy Album of the Year, Duo or Group of the Year, Best Video of the Year, Grammy for Best Rock Performance, Duo or Group, Grammy for Best Alternative Performance.
Duo or Group.
Yep.
Man. Eric Clapton.
No.
Hall & Oates, one of those guys.
No. It's Bono.
Bono.
His real name is Paul Hewson.
No, it's Paul Husson.
No,
it's Paul
Husson. All right,
Husson. My name is Paul Husson, and I'm very happy about all you people gathering around that wanted to F up the mainstream. And if you don't mind, I'm going to take me bloody fingers and run them through my greasy hair.
All right, now I'll give you a multiple choice. Which one of these people was a high school dropout?
Okay.
Only one of them.
Mm-hmm.
John Bon Jovi, Michael Bolton, or Halle Berry?
Only one of them?
Yes.
I'm going to say Michael Bolton.
Yes. I see, now you're on the comeback trail.
Michael Bolton.
Okay. This country singer.
Yes.
Oh, I find this impossible to believe.
Oh, I love these.
Met his future wife while working as a bouncer.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
No.
I was going to say Billy Ray Cyrus.
Doesn't he strike you as a bouncer-like country star?
You can, listen with the answer. Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks was a bouncer?
The doughy Garth Brooks.
No.
That's what I'm telling you. This is from the People magazine Celebrity Fact Finder.
That's a PR firm. That was changed from hostess.
Okay. here you go. I got another one for you. This actor, writer, director, producer.
Oh, boy.
And I'll give you another clue. You and I both think that almost all this guy's movies are classics.
Okay.
His real name, Melvin Kaminsky.
Oh. Wait a minute. Got it.
Melvin Kaminsky.
You got it, Buzz. Go ahead.
Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks. That's
Mel Brooks.
That's correct.
Mel Brooks.
That's correct.
High anxiety. You win.
This hunky Hollywood actor was expelled from elementary school, middle school, and high school.
Oh, that's easy. John Lovitz.
No.
Serious answer, I'm going to say Val Kilmer.
No. You got a guess, Buzz?
Tom Cruise.
No, it's Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage was.
Expelled from elementary school, middle school, high school.
He's a little out there.
All right. This TV sitcom star. He has a current TV sitcom on right now, very popular.
Okay.
Served in the Marines for 6 years.
Drew Carey.
That's right.
Yeah! Oh,
good one.
All right, kept the haircut.
That's right.
Good.
I thought he was too doughy.
Right. Imagine him in the Marine. That makes me laugh, just picturing him in the Marine Corps.
Okay, Private Carey?
Let me keep looking. I want to find another good one.
Carey, you have Sloan out in front of the building.
Here's a question about the nude wedding. Let me take this while I find another celebrity to read you about. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. I'm Mike.
Hey, buddy.
How you guys doing?
Great, thank you.
I got a question for you about your Valentine's Day show.
Yes, sir.
Is Lou Ferrigno going to be nude?
No.
We've said that. We've said that before. He will not be nude.
Can he at least, you know, make a certain part of him green?
No, come on.
Come on. Do you want to play or what?
No.
No, okay.
Ah, boo.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. No, Lou Ferrigno will not be nude.
Right. No part of his body will be nude or green. Well, at least as far as we know.
As far as we know. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, Baldy. Hey, Drew Carey, I got his book that, you know, drinking beer and a bunch of, I can't remember the name of the book.
Yeah.
But stupid jokes and dirty beer jokes or something like that.
Yeah.
They have pictures of him in the Marines. He weighs like 170 pounds. He looks, it doesn't even look like the same guy. He's wearing,
you know, that's got to be like when I saw the pictures of Roseanne in
right.
her book, when Roseanne lived in a trailer in Salt Lake City and she weighed like 120 pounds.
You'd have the same reaction to seeing the pictures of Drew Carey. You'd be aroused like you were with the pictures of Roseanne.
You think so?
Picture of him dressing up as a girl.
Really?
And, he dressed up as a woman, and I mean, he had thin legs. It's amazing how he looks now.
Man, it sounds like you want to, you know, go over and jump on him.
All right. Thank you.
All righty. Thanks.
All right. Goodbye. Goodbye there. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, this is Lou Ferrigno calling in.
Oh, no. Come on. Will you stop? But this is Lou Ferrigno.
Yes, I just finished a TV, a feature movie called Cage.
You remember when we had Lou Ferrigno on our show once doing a phoner?
Yes, we did. And then he did a little promo for us, too.
It's an action-adventure film dealing with a soldier who gets shot in the head and becomes mentally deficient. That should be out in January. And also a comedy with Sally Kellerman and George Segal. That'll be out in a month.
Yes, Lou Ferrigno making a triumphant return to the show.
You know, I haven't seen him in so many years on TV or otherwise. I wonder if he is still able to crush our heads like a grape.
Sure. We'll find out during the nude wedding.
That'll be great.
Okay. Larry King. We all know that his real name is Larry Zeiger.
Right, Lawrence Zeiger.
What is his middle name?
Herschel.
Closer than you think.
I'll say Irving.
Irving, no. His real? No buzz. Harvey.
Harvey.
Lawrence Harvey Zeiger.
Hi. And of course, my new son, Chance.
Chance.
Hi, Chance. This is Daddy Old Man.
Oh, let me see. Oh, here's what they have about the bio for Larry King. Imagine, Larry King was so pissed at People Magazine. Here's what they have. Occupation, talk show host.
Right.
Birth date, 11/19/33. Facts. In February 1992, Ross Perot announced his bid for the presidency on Larry King Live. In December 1971, Larry King was arrested for stealing money a financier had given him for the New Orleans DA's investigation into the death of John F. Kennedy. Larry King had used the money to pay taxes after he had blown his own money on Cadillacs, expensive restaurants, and gambling debts.
Yeah, he had some problems down in Miami. Doesn't like to talk about it either.
And his original job?
Like to play the ponies, I understand.
Original job? Janitor at an AM radio station in Florida. Oh, that's fantastic.
You want me to clean this up for you?
All right, this one. See if you get this one.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint. He's a brother.
All right.
A funny brother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Been in many movies.
All right.
Funny brother. Born in Germany.
Eddie Murphy.
No.
Chris Rock?
No.
Oh, man.
Martin Lawrence,
what's up?
Martin Lawrence is a German.
Hello, this is Martin Lawrence. What's up?
Isn't that something?
Wow. That explains a lot.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, a lot of the turmoil in his life.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a clue here.
Wait, was that? Wasn't Martin Lawrence the guy who's out in the middle of traffic?
That's right.
Something like that?
That's right. Okay, here's your clue. Her real name is Dana Owens. Rap singer, actor.
Queen Latifah.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Sound effects could be the best clue of all.
Getting her own talk show now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. How ridiculous.
Between the two of them, between Martin Short
right.
and Queen Latifah,
mm-hmm.
here's the prediction. Queen Latifah will be on the air far longer than Martin Short.
Yeah, meaning 4 weeks as opposed to 2 weeks.
Well, I stand by my prediction.
Let me see. Hold on. I'm still looking for another good one. Okay. Well, I can't even pronounce this. Walter Matthau's real name is Wilfred...
Poodle.
I'm going to spell it now.
Okay.
MATUSCHANSKAVASKY.
Wow.
Can't imagine why he changed it.
Right.
Man, oh man.
God bless you.
Ain't that something?
Carson. That's the way you pronounce it.
Okay.
Wild stuff.
Let me see.
Rupert Carson.
Bette Midler, who cares about her? Willie Nelson. Jack Nicholson. Conan O'Brien. Not a lot of good stuff about some of these people. Okay. How old are the Olsen twins?
They are 13.
That's... Hey.
Thank you.
You're right, Mike.
Well, you know what that's called? It's called following their career.
Oh. Yeah, I know. That's where I was going with
see,
that.
I would have said 21.
Okay, and you would have been wrong.
Okay.
I've got the calendar at home.
Oh, God.
Okay. Okay, here you go. You're never going to get this one. Author.
All right.
Female.
Mm-hmm.
Female author.
Well, that's, you know, you got me in a category that I wouldn't be able to do well in anyway.
Real name, Howard Allen O'Brien. Her real name is Howard.
Famous author?
Yeah, I think so. Some of her books have been turned into movies.
Judith Krantz.
Jackie Collins?
No, Anne Rice.
Anne Rice,
you know, Interview with the
Vampire Lady. Wow.
Yeah, her real name is Howard.
Howard O'Brien.
Who knew that?
And she still likes to go on those interview shows and wear those creepy, like, vampire costumes.
Very
too.
Spooky.
She writes a scary book, but she's a boring, boring interviewer.
She's very weird.
Okay.
Too.
Mm-hmm. Great Jugs. Real name, Susan Abigail Tomaling.
Oh, man. Kevin James.
Good answer.
Okay.
But
Susan Day. I don't know.
No, Susan Sarandon.
Oh, see, I was thrown by the first clue.
All right.
Just great jugs.
She does have great jugs.
Yeah, I know. I see, but you say that and you're thinking of Susan Sarandon. I'm thinking immediately of Kevin James.
Okay. Pasty, skinny. Real name? Actress.
Real
name? Laura Horowitz.
Pasty, skinny. Boy, that's tough. Pasty.
Sorry, Buzzy.
Mia Farrow?
Mia Farrow? No. Winona Ryder.
I was going to say that.
Her name is Laura Horowitz.
Winona Ryder.
Isn't that Laura Horowitz?
Who'd have thunk it?
Hi, my name is Laura Horowitz.
Boy, it's amazing when you think of those celebrities and the name changes that they go, you know, all the way. Winona.
You'll probably get this one just because the clue I'm going to give you.
Okay.
She has a mustache.
Yep.
Real name, Joyce Frankenberg.
Man. Has a mustache.
She has a mustache.
Any other facial hair?
That's the only clue I'm going to give you.
I'm going to say Dr. Quinn Medicine.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Wow. Yes, that's right.
Jane Seymour.
And I knew you'd know that because we saw her in an elevator at CBS and she
that's
has
right.
a mustache.
That is right. Good. That's right.
Here's another one that you're going to get. Not based on the real name, but based on my clue.
Very good.
Real name, David Adkins.
Mm-hmm.
First clue I'll give you.
Yeah.
Orange.
Sinbad.
Sinbad, you're right. I was going to say orange or strip club.
Hey, are they going to, you know, they're bringing back all those game shows. Are they going to be bringing back Password?
They should.
Going DJ Password.
Based on this, we'd be killer at this, wouldn't we?
I know, absolutely.
We're pretty good at this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Okay. Funnyman.
Right.
Talk show host.
Yes.
Real name, John Leibowitz.
You're not going to give me any other clue? Like one of your hints?
We like him.
We like him.
Got it.
Talk show host.
Sink.
You got him,
David Letterman.
John Stewart?
Yes, John Stewart.
John Stewart.
John Stewart, right. David Letterman, please.
Yes, David Letterman changed his name from John Horowitz.
Okay. I got another one for you. Director.
Okay.
This guy tops Nicolas Cage.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, elementary school dropout, re-enrolled, middle school dropout.
Right.
Re-enrolled, high school dropout, never enrolled. However, excuse me, dropped out of elementary school, dropped out of middle school, dropped out of high school.
And he's a director?
Yes.
Martin Scorsese?
No.
Steven Spielberg?
No, no, no. Quentin Tarantino?
Oh, of course, that hothead. Shrinsky lookalike.
Forgot about
that. Right, that was going to be my clue to you.
Man.
Okay, hold on a second. Chris
Tucker? And that's a perfect one for that when you think about it. He strikes me as a guy that would do that.
Okay. Shania Twain's real name is Eileen.
Eileen. Boy, Eileen, way back.
Come on, Eileen. Okay, here you go. Hold on a second.
Seems to be a theme also that's running through the show today.
Real name, Anna Mae Bullock. And here's your clue.
Is it Sandra Bullock?
No. She just wouldn't listen.
Real name, Anna Mae Bullock.
Yeah.
She just... It's not Nicole Simpson, is it?
No.
Oh, I was that...
No.
Nicole Simpson.
Tina Turner.
Tina Turner.
Oh, man.
Oh, my. Send all letters to Ken Stevens.
Thought I had it, but she wouldn't listen.
Wow. Anna Mae.
What a name that is.
Great Gams.
Okay. Bruce Willis. Oh. Bruce Willis is German, too.
He was born in Germany?
Bruce Willis was born in Idar, Germany.
He's Herr Willis.
His real name is Walter Willis.
Hello, Walter. Walter, your strudel's ready, Walter Willis. Herr Willis, you're losing all your hair.
Okay. Real name, Eldrick Woods. Professional athlete.
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods. That's right. Yeah, I was a softball.
Yeah, that was easy.
I know you get that one. Oh, and I'm all the way up to the Z's already.
Zazu, Zazu, Z.
Yanni. Yanni's last name is
Class.
C-H-R-Y-S-O-M-A-L-L-I-S. Sounds like some kind of a social disease.
Man, oh man, Yanni. And I like the way you call him Yanni, too. Yanny.
I know, Yanni. Excuse me. Yanni.
Hey, Yanni.
Okay. Got one more for you. Mm-hmm. Country singer. Kind of smelly. High school dropout.
That's, boy, you're really narrowing it down there.
Real name, Christina Claire Simonella.
Salmonella?
Simonella.
Christina Claire
Simonella.
Simonella. Country stars usually have something in their names that's close to their original name. Christina. And you said smelly, kind of smelly?
Smelly, stanky. Smelly down there.
Smelly like big?
Smelly place, yes.
Winona?
Yeah. See, we could play Password. You're right. We'd kill it, Password.
Winona.
All right, hold on. Let's do this, and we're coming right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, be careful with that. That's the most powerful trank gun on the market.
Huh. Got her in Mexico.
Cool.
Yeah, it is cool. They say it can puncture the skin of a rhino from a...
Ow! Yes! That's awesome! What? You just took one in the jugular, man! Whoa! Yes! Is this bad? You should pull that out.
Wait. Pull one out. The dart, man. Got a dart in your neck. You're crazy, man. You're crazy. I like you. But you're crazy. I'm so tired.
The Don and Mike Show. They're more soothing than a pair of buttery soft moccasins. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yep. I got something that's a super deluxe secret that I want to lay on you right now.
This is very big.
Not since the day that we had the tape, the secret tapes of Monica Lewinsky talking to Linda Tripp, have we had such an exclusive on this show.
You know, every now and then you come across what really is a gem, and which is really something nobody else has.
I know that everybody's heard the stories about the Pope going to St. Louis.
Yeah. Right.
Had a little meeting with Clinton. Maybe you saw them on TV last night.
A lot of coverage of Clinton's helicopter leaving, going to the airport, and then flying into St. Louis and meeting with the Holy Father.
And I heard G. Gordon Liddy today and some other political guys saying, oh, maybe Clinton is asking for forgiveness.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm sure that the G-man was kidding about that.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't he be surprised to know?
Right.
That Clinton did beg for forgiveness from the Pope.
That really happened.
Well, you might want to know how does Don know that? That would be the first question.
Okay.
That
would come
all right, Mike. A mole,
mm-hmm.
A little spy, a little hidden microphone in the Trans World Dome.
A very special microphone in a very special place.
Mm. All right, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Robbie, rack up that special tape, please.
Take one.
Now, this is an exclusive, and in case Dateline or 2020 or one of you shows is listening, make sure you give us credit. Don and Mike Show.
And a check for $1 million.
Because we didn't get the credit when we had the Linda Tripp, Monica Lewinsky tapes a couple of months ago.
Hopefully we'll get credit for this one. This is, as we understand it, this is the meeting. This is the only time they got together. They only got together for a brief period of time.
Right.
Between President Clinton and Pope John Paul.
This was behind the scenes.
Sure.
And I understand the quality's not the best since it was a hidden microphone.
Right.
But let's roll this now, please. Clinton meets the Pope.
Pontiff, Your Holiness, have a seat. Mr. Clinton will be right in.
Thank you. Thank you. Come in. Your Holiness, hi, how are you? I'm Bill Clinton. You know, we met before. How are you? I needed to talk to you. I mean, I really, really need to talk to you.
My son.
How are you?
Hey, dude.
Oh, let me tell you something. I have screwed up big time.
I know.
Let me tell you right now. I will tell you, if you could find it in your heart to say, just a couple of words about me being, kind of a good guy, that would, you have no idea what that, I had this liaison with an intern.
Some questions for you.
Well, I'll answer them to the best of my ability, Your Holiness.
First,
yes.
Did you wear a rubber?
It was kind of in my office, Your Holiness, and one thing led to another, and it's difficult. I can't lie to you, no.
So you did not wear... Let me ask you something else, Bill.
Yes, Your Holiness. I know you're against that kind of thing, that birth control, so, I didn't do that.
Not really.
Oh, really? Okay.
Now, I'm talking to you man to man.
Yeah, all right.
Man to man, yes. Flesh and bone,
I understand.
Just as you...
Yes, sir, I understand that, yes.
Did you f***, Kurt?
Oh, no, wait, hold on a second. Rewind that, please, Rob. Did the Pope just say what I thought he said?
It's difficult. It sounds like it.
Now, I think, though I made it out there, he asked Clinton if Clinton wore a rubber.
Yes, he did, right, yes. Yeah.
And Clinton said no.
Right.
Okay, let's listen to it again.
Oh, really? Okay.
Now, I'm talking to you man to man.
Yeah, all right. I'll
man to man, yes. Flesh and bone.
I understand.
Just as you.
Yes, sir, I understand that, yes.
Did you f***, Kurt?
Well, he said it. Oh, dear.
Well,
oh my.
Technically, no, I did not.
That's good. That's very good.
That did not happen. Yeah.
The president seems to be being honest in this interview.
Well, he's talking to the Pope.
Yeah, I guess he has to be.
But no, I didn't. Absolutely, no, I didn't.
Did she boo you?
Technically, I suppose, Your Holiness, I would say yes. Yes, the answer would be yes to that. Yes. All right.
Okay.
But that's all. That's all that happened. I mean, and it was brief, and I was weak. I was weak, and I fall on my knees in front of you, the Holy Father. I just want to say, please give me some guidance. And more importantly than that, if you could just say for maybe 15 minutes, during your Mass in St. Louis, he is a good guy.
What's in it for me, man?
All right, I thought you'd ask that. Here we go. I know. I heard about you. Here you go. Take a look in my jacket pocket. You see these?
Ooh.
This is the Super Bowl, Your Holiness. These are 250-yard-line tickets to see Atlanta against the Denver Broncos. Holiness, you have 50-yard-line seats.
You will have to do better than that.
Oh, really?
I'm talking... sound system for the Pope Mobile. I'm talking extra secret service agents.
Done.
I'm talking, you listen to me now.
Yeah.
I got an 8-figure deal with Pepsi.
Yeah.
It ain't enough.
All right, so you need more.
I need more.
It ain't enough. Boy.
What can you get to? Answer me another question about Monica.
This
is off the record.
Okay,
off the record.
All right, yes, sir.
Why such a pig?
It's opportunity, Your Holiness. She was there. I can't get out. It's not like I can find good-looking women, She was there. It was opportunity. She came into the office, and she flirted with me, and then I was extremely weak, but...
Can't you just f*** your wife?
Oh, no. No way. Oh, Your Holiness, I can tell you...
Roll that back again, Rob.
He's so graphic. I didn't know he used and knew all those terms.
It's amazing. Well, he knew he was talking to, Buzz.
Yeah.
And very honest on President Clinton's part also.
Well, I think he's had enough of, evading the truth.
I was extremely weak, but...
Can't you just f*** your wife?
Oh, no way. Yeah. Oh, Your Holiness, I can tell you stories, man. No way, man. I can't. There's no way I can.
Not even
that.
What about in the middle of the night, my son?
Oh, my God, no. What, are you high? Of course not. I can't do that. Hey, listen, I'll sweeten the pot, okay? Here you go. All right. Super Bowl tickets. I'll get you that pesky sound system you want for your popo bill. And we'll get you extra secret service. And here you go. How about this? I have a friend, Rudy Marsky, writes for USA Today.
Oh, he's a big sinner, I know him.
How would you like to be a judge at the Miss Hawaiian Tropic Bathing Suit Contest?
Oh, mama.
Are we on the same page? Yeah.
Now, listen. Here's what I need.
Yes, Your Holiness. Yeah, fire away. Your wish is my command.
I need the car.
The car.
I need the Hawaiian Tropic.
Yeah, write this down.
I need the tickets.
Yeah, okay, you got them.
And listen, I need a minimum. Give me a Hail Mary. So my conscience is clear.
You are a great man, Your Holiness.
Just say it real fast right now. Hail Mary. Full of grace.
Full of
blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Hey, he's letting him off easy.
Okay, now, being as I'm your Pope, guy.
Yeah, you are.
I wipe away all the sins.
Oh,
and,
you're the man. You're the man.
Being as you have a Monica.
Yeah, all right.
I will say, my son.
Yes.
I forgive you.
Oh, Your Holiness. That means so much to me. Can I kiss your ring?
Kiss it right now. Kiss it good.
Okay. I just kissed your ring. What's that smell? My God.
Hey.
Oh, hey, all right. I got to go.
How?
Hey, can I just say one thing?
Yes.
I love you, man. I really do. You're terrific. I get you the tickets and everything else you wanted. You're all right.
All right, my friend.
Okay.
Now, listen, on your way out, send Mr. Mark McGuire in. He's not the man to kiss my ass. Can I get you an autograph already?
You sure can. All right. Okay. And, hey, I love a new robe. It is hot. See ya. You're the greatest. I'll tell you right now. You're the man.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, did you cut the cheese?
Oh, yeah. We had the best beef and burrito sandwich.
Jesus Christ, that's nice.
God bless you.
All right, God bless you.
You take care now, you hear?
Ciao.
Bye.
Hey, call me after the game, huh?
You bet, baby.
You called me.
Okay, I love you, man.
I love you, baby.
Bye.
Okay, ciao.
Well, a meeting of two great men.
There you go. Now, that would be an exclusive on Don and Mike show.
Pretty astounding. I mean, it's, he really talks like a common man, you know, and I'm not talking about the president. And the president seemed to get a lot out of that meeting.
Very honest on both parts.
We'll have to wait and see if during the next mass the Pope says, if there's anything in there about Bill being a good guy.
Being a good guy. The Pope gave him a pass in that meeting.
Yeah, he sure did. That Hail Mary thing at the very end. I mean, really?
Great.
Wow, what a deal.
And you heard it here exclusively. I'd like to say right now, deal. That's a Don and Mike show exclusive.
Yeah, you won't hear that anywhere else.
Right.
That's ours.
Like, I used to work at a radio station sometime when you'd get a record before the other stations had it, like the new Michael Jackson record.
Right.
And every 10 seconds, the disc jockey had to open the microphone and go, 13Q, exclusive.
But like nobody else could record it.
Yeah, so like some other radio station would record it off the radio and play it. Well, I'm pretty sure no other stations are recording us right now to play that.
That's right, and they do, hey, they're in a heap of trouble.
You just say that's an exclusive.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello?
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Bob in Las Vegas.
Yes, Bob. Tell me, Bob, are you blown away by that news you just heard on our show?
Which was the Pope.
We play a groundbreaking secret tape. And we get no response from our audience.
Bob probably be a little more excited about what he's going to say.
But this is what I'm responding to. I'm in Las Vegas. I'm listening to your interview with, secret tape of the Pope.
Right, secret tape. Thank you. You were listening. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. And what happens? The radio station here pulls you off the air.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Here I am busting this guy's balls. Here I am busting balls, and this guy was calling to tell us something that was very, very important.
Well, you know, we're in that busting balls frame of mind, I believe. But they pulled the plug.
Why?
They're busting my balls. Yeah, they're playing Rufus here.
Rufus, turn it on. Oh, come on. You must have the wrong station on.
Okay, come on. I listen to you guys every day. Give me a break.
Turn the radio on.
They yank you. They're playing Rufus. They're playing 70s music.
Oh, come on. Listen, I'm telling you, you're full of crap. This is a guy that's just trying to work us.
Why would I do this?
Because you're a guy that's trying to work us.
Absolutely not. Wouldn't do that to you. Would not do that.
Turn the radio on.
Oh, God, I would never do that.
Turn the radio on. 105.1, Las Vegas. Turn it on.
105.1, this is what's playing right now. Can you hear it? I'm telling you, it's not on. I can't get through the request line because they're busy, and I called you guys.
Okay, now.
You are not on in Las Vegas.
I'll tell you why I don't believe this guy. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of reasons I don't believe him.
Okay.
First off, the general manager of our station in Las Vegas just sent us a box of cigars to say thanks for the great ratings.
Uh-huh.
Number two, our station in Las Vegas yesterday called and wanted us to come out for the opening of a new casino in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So they must be having problem with their satellite feed.
Technical trouble.
Well, that could be it. I'm telling you, you're not here.
I'm positive that's what it is.
I'm
positive that's what it is.
Got to the part where Billy was asking for forgiveness, and then it cut out. Couldn't hear the whole thing.
Right. Well, Doug, maybe they had a problem with the satellite.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, what do you think? What do you think, sir? What is your theory?
I think it's a conspiracy.
A conspiracy?
I think they're a pro-Clinton radio station. And,
oh, please. Oh, come on.
God. Oh, listen, goodbye.
You know, we do that. We have that nice little segment with the Pope and Clinton, and
Jesus.
And still, it doesn't break up those calls.
Somebody call the station in Vegas and
find out what's going on. We'll
find out what the deal is.
Please.
Okay. Heck of a deal. Jesus.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Yeah, I was watching the coverage of the Pope and Clinton today, and in one shot, if you looked really close, you could see the Pope's nipples.
Oh, he's got huge nipples. You know what I think is so funny about this coverage is when all the guys on TV talk about it seriously, about the Pope Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you get real
new
news.
It's a brand new one.
Real news guys going, the Pope will be driving his Pope Mobile to the Trans World Dome. Here comes the Pope in his brand new 1999 Pope Mobile.
I know. It's just like you said, they don't call the presidential motorcade, they don't call it the President Mobile.
Right, no. The Pope Mobile.
The Pope Mobile.
You know what everybody thinks of? Batmobile!
Atomic batteries to power.
Does it have the same power, though?
Sure. Ready to move out.
No. Batmobile would kick the Pope Mobile's ass. That I'm positive.
Yeah, but you wouldn't get as good a look at Batman. You know what I mean? If Batman had a Batmobile, you'd be able to see his whole cape and tights and all that.
Do you remember how the Batmobile used to stop?
And how did it stop?
Parachutes.
Well, that's right.
Do you remember Batman pulled a thing that was in the middle of the console and big parachutes would come around, stop the car, and would turn it around? Bat chutes.
Very high tech.
It was fueled by rockets. And they had to use parachutes.
That's right, Buzz. The bat chutes.
Did they ever have toy? Didn't they have a toy Batmobile that
Corgi.
You could press a button and the chutes would come out? Or it had chutes attached?
The Corgi Batmobile had little rockets that shot out of the
little
three
plastic rockets
that shot out of the three rocket things in the back of the Batmobile, and it also had little fake flames that came out the back when you rolled
they
it
were
on
also
the
made of plastic
yes
right?
made of plastic right yeah
but I'll tell you the best Corgi toy was the Aston Martin the James Bond mobile that was the best Corgi
with
car
the ejector seat and with the machine guns that came out the
and
front
and the bulletproof screen that came up that you'd hit.
Yeah, that was a killer toy, man.
And then you could take out the little tire shredders on the side of the tires.
That was killer.
Oh man,
but the Batmobile, the Corgi Batmobile had a button that you could press right up front by where his ray gun thing was.
Right.
And it would be like a slicing thing that would come out of the middle of the car.
Wow.
So that like he could slice wires and stuff.
Corgi.
Corgi. Those are cool toys.
Corgi should come out with a Popemobile.
I liked Corgis better than Matchboxes.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Me too. And I liked Matchboxes better than Hot Wheels.
I did too, because we probably got them before. Matchboxes before Hot... Matchboxes perhaps even before Corgis.
Yeah, Corgis were bigger than Matchboxes.
That's right.
That's why Corgis were so much better than Matchboxes.
Because they could do all those functions. Matchboxes simply too small.
Too tiny.
I wonder if my mom ever threw that out.
She did. Probably. I'm sure she threw all your great stuff out.
You know, Matchboxes would be worth something today, wouldn't they?
Probably, yeah, I'm sure.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don. I'm Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, thanks for the job.
What job?
Got a job at a radio station. Remember when Magic Christian called you guys up? And some guy from a small town radio station called you up, offering him a job, and you kind of just said, no thanks, too small for him?
Yeah.
Not too small for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, that's terrific.
I jotted down the call letters, called him up the next day, and there you had it.
Amazing. Really? What station is that you got a job at?
WCEI.
CEI. And yes, Don G. On Maryland's beautiful Eastern Shore. I have my own bell. All right, well, good for you. You show some initiative there.
Thank you very much.
Good for you. Do me a favor. Break the format.
Well, right now I'm doing board op production, and I'll be starting to do the news in another week or two.
Well, congratulations. That's very good. That's thinking on your feet.
All right.
All right, goodbye. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Do you get the impression, like all people that would get into this business, he wanted more?
Of course.
He wanted something more from us, and I don't know what more we could have given him.
No. Hello, Dynamite.
Hey, I was calling to see if you guys could maybe get your connection at the hotel to see if you could produce a set of Monica Lewinsky's anal tongs.
You mean Wade Phillips' anal tongs?
Wade Phillips' anal tongs with the special disposable sponge.
Hello. Hello, Dynamite Show.
One side sponge, one side Brillo.
Hello, it's Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, much love from Tampa.
Hey, right on, my friend.
Hey, we're hearing that story about the guy that had his hand or a hand attached to his arm.
Oh, yeah, listen, we've, have we gotten through to the doctor yet, Rob?
Not yet.
Not yet. We're trying to get an interview with the doctor because I'd like to offer Dennis Murphy the same procedure.
I think that'd be great.
Hold on a second. I got two lines at once.
But Dennis would be a candidate for that kind of
procedure. The hand seems to be taking. The guy's in pretty good shape.
I heard on the news today that the guy moved one finger now with that hand.
Already?
With the reattached hand, yeah, one finger.
That is really...
We got a question here about that, though.
Yeah.
And... if he plays with himself with that hand, does that mean he's gay?
Why am I surprised that this was a call about a guy playing with himself? I knew immediately when you called. A guy like you could not call about a hand without bringing... and then he hangs up.
Right. I don't understand the question, though.
Yeah.
I play with myself with my hand.
I know. Well, seeing it's another person's hand.
Another guy's
hand.
So
if he plays with himself, does that mean he's gay?
Yes. I understand now. Yes, absolutely.
I would think, you know, this would be a theory, that it would be... more exciting.
I would probably
But it
use,
is, wait a minute, it is a guy's hand, though.
I would use the other natural hand that I have, I think.
As opposed to using the...
another guy's hand.
Oh, you know, at some point you'd use if it was functioning, you'd use the... and I would think you wouldn't need all that much function. You know, it wouldn't be like... It's not like using a typewriter.
It would depend which hand it was, though.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because when I'm doing that...
oh, that's right.
Let's be honest.
I forgot. When you do it, it's like you're rosining up your baseball bat to go up.
Right. It's a two-hand job.
Right.
The left hand is involved.
Yeah.
But the right hand is the money hand.
So you'd have to... if it was your left hand that was the new hand, or vice versa, you'd have to switch
to
see what that would be like. And that's, you know, that's breaking format.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
I don't know if I'm coordinated enough or not to do it with my left hand.
Well, everybody can do it with his left hand if they try hard enough.
I've never tried.
Never tried?
You've never used your left hand.
For that?
For the...
never.
Well, it feels like...
I haven't either.
I'm a righty.
I am, too.
I'm a righty all the way.
Are you a righty, Buzz?
Yeah, right-handed. This guy who got his right hand blown off, you know, for a period of time, for, what is it, 6 years or 13 years, however long it's been since he lost his hand, he had to switch to his left hand, so... you know, he made the adjustment.
Well, of course. I mean, if you had to.
It would seem to me, if the operation is successful, it would be like a newfound friend.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nothing greater, you know. Hey, especially, you know, it'd just be awesome. You know, hey, look at this. Brand new. I'm functional now.
Yeah, it might weird me out. I think that guy from Tampa might have been right.
But, I'd love to have the guy on the show. Not the doctor, but because, you know, the guy had a mechanical hand before that. He really did.
Ouch.
He was using a mechanical... they said...
I'd probably kill myself if I had a mechanical hand and I tried to do that.
I saw some news footage of this guy where they're showing this guy at, like, the copier and everything. And he's standing there and he said, here's the man that... this is a before shot of the man that had his hand blown off. And I said... well, he's got a hand, and that's how good the mechanical hand looked.
Wow. Right.
Because it really looked terrific.
Now he
it
has
wonderful.
A new set of fingerprints, too.
But if you get one of those mechanical hands, what if you get one that's a little bit too strong, and then you, like, lose control?
Like, remember in Wayne's World? Remember the scene in Wayne's World where Garth is inventing something, and Rob Lowe comes over to talk to him, and he's got one of those hands with a remote control, where you press a button, and, like, the fingers go up and down, up and down?
Yeah, and they almost all got killed.
Yes. By the giant hand.
The giant hand.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Mr. Hahn. Hello.
Don.
Yeah.
Pope tapes were great, but we're all going to go to hell for screwing with the Pope, man.
Yes, we'll all be up there. You know something? When you're up there, we'll all be up there. You know, it'll be a big, giant bench seat like you'd see in a stadium.
Listen, you know, he's just a guy, man.
Right.
He's just a guy. Jesus.
He's just the Pope. He's the guy closest to God.
Oh, listen. I have listen to me for a second. I have a very strong belief in God. There's no doubt about it. I'm not BSing you there. But who's to say that the Pope is closer to God than I am?
Who's to say there isn't?
Hey, he's got to be close to God to get that cool car he drives around in the Pope.
Oh, I got a cooler car than the Pope. Come on, please. I got a dual exhaust turbo. Zero to 60 in 4 seconds. Are you kidding?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's got his own plane.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
With his own insignia on it.
I get laid more than the Pope does.
I guarantee that's true.
Hello.
I guarantee at his age, I guarantee that's true no matter what.
He slowed down.
Hello.
Hello.
He's just a guy, man.
Hey.
I mean, I offer him all due respect, as much due respect as I can.
I don't think there's anybody. I was telling my wife this last night over dinner. I don't think there's anyone that offers him more respect than you do.
Right.
He's just a guy.
I think you're the front man for respect for the Pope in America right now.
He's just a guy. You know, it's like when ancient cavemen used to like look at rocks and stuff and think that they were gods and stuff. He's just a man. You know, give me definitive proof. Give me definitive proof that God has chosen him.
Give me definitive proof that he is not closer to God than anybody else.
What's the proof that he is? Because he went.
See,
to...
but you can't give proof on either end. You can't. That's why it's called Don. That's why it's called faith.
I'm not saying I don't believe in God.
You can't prove either. Prove either case. You can't prove that you know anybody.
Because a guy wears a beanie and a robe and a Pope mobile. Doesn't, to me, mean that he's any closer to God than I am.
That's right, but you can't prove that.
He's the head of the Catholic Church, which means nothing if you belong to some other church or no church at all.
It's absolute. It's all everybody's individual beliefs.
Exactly.
Right. That's the way. And you know something?
Hey, listen, for all I know, Mr. Carrot Top is the closest on this planet to God.
You never know. The Carrot Top may be sitting there in his you know, his house that I saw on the tour of homes. You know, I have a special door that he presses, and all of a sudden it's like, hello, Carrot Top.
Mr.
Like,
Carrot Top.
You people don't realize you are the closest to God of any, wouldn't that be horrible? I tell you, that would send a lot of people jumping off cliffs into the sea.
Mr. Carrot Top. Carrot Top, the chosen one. Okay, what did you want? Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, I was just listening to you a minute ago. You were talking about that left-hand, right-hand thing. I think that guy, he lost his left hand with that M80, and his right has always been working. He's right-handed.
Well, I saw a tape of the guy with two hands, and I'm telling you, I couldn't tell the hands apart.
I got the story right here. Doctors transplanted a hand from a cadaver to the arm of a man who lost his left hand
right.
13 years ago. So, well, yeah, his right hand was okay all along.
And I'll tell you something. His mechanical hand looked A-okay to me, and it was, you know, whenever I think of a mechanical hand, I think of all those movies where you see the guy with a zzz. The latest was, I think, Starship Troopers, where the guy, had the fake hand. But it was really amazing the way that I think with like prosthetics, they're doing a lot with that too.
And the Thing,
mm-hmm.
You know, Adam's Family.
Thing, yeah.
Thing,
you know, that was the great hand. You know, remember that hand with the movie with the, you know, Thing like running through the street,
running down the street, fantastic.
Thing got a lot better since the TV show.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, on a TV show, Thing just came out of a box. Right. It was just a guy that was hiding behind a box, and you couldn't see his body.
But you had a disembodied hand in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Running after a car down the street.
Bringing special effect of the movie.
Bringing Gomez's mail and stuff. Fantastic.
Thing was the star of that first one.
Absolutely. Hello?
What's up?
Hey.
You know why he's the man? Because the smoke coming out of the little thing in Rome.
We have Catholic theologian theology scholar on the phone right now.
The smoke coming out of the thing in Rome.
This is the chapel in Rome.
Uh-huh. Okay,
the chapel.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Dynamite.
Yeah, hi.
Buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, so this dude with the hand, he's set for a life of crime.
Why?
He's got some other guy's fingerprints.
Buzz just mentioned that.
Huh?
You just weren't paying attention again.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don, size 32 waist. Yeah.
Oh, now everybody's trying to get your goat after that yesterday.
Hey, listen.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen.
I was, you know, I was having a great deal of difficulty getting into my new waist size today.
Maybe it's
that I will keep a secret. No one will need to know that. As a matter of fact, I think I'll probably be revealing that information somewhere in the year 2000.
Spandex?
No, no spandex, though.
Paint your bald spot?
You know what? This is the discussion my wife had with me last night when I got home. She says to me, why'd you argue with that woman about your pant size? I said, because she pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
My wife says, you're wearing the jeans that are size 34. You bought a pair of 32s. You said you could almost squeeze into them.
Why do you even think you're a 32 length?
You know something, my goal is to get to a size 36 waist.
And
so, I mean, that's where you should be content with where, you know, everybody should be happy about the way they are.
She says to me, why do you bother to argue with those idiots?
It's fun.
And I said, I don't know, I get in a pissing contest and I can't stop it. And she said, well, you're so easy to pick on. She said that's why people do it, because people know what pisses you off.
Yes.
And it's real easy to pick on you. She's trying to be my psychologist last night. She said, now listen, the next time somebody calls and says something, you know how much you weigh.
Right.
You know how much weight you've lost. You know what size pants you wear. What does it matter what they said? I said, oh, honey, but I want to kill them. When they call and somebody calls and wants to get in a pissing contest with them.
It really is hard to rise above it. And I think that we've learned also on this show that when we don't rise above it, and I think that we're probably one of the few shows that really doesn't rise above it.
Right.
You know, people enjoy that. And that's like this guy gets his jollies listening to that conversation yesterday. Yeah. Wants more. That's why he's calling. People enjoy that. And, you know, I mean, we got to... I realize that people think that there's just raw, pure emotion here. But what you have to explain is that, you know, seriously,
yeah,
there is a process involved,
yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
people?
Listen,
I mean, if you really didn't want that on the air,
right.
That's not on the air.
I would have hung up on it and deleted it out.
But
right.
People dig it. We've, you know, it's not always fun. I'd be lying if I said it was always fun. Sometimes it really sucks, but we know that there are people getting out of their workplaces listening to that absolutely dig it.
Hey, uh-huh. Listen. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm up for a fight every once in a while.
When you get the right kind of person, it's actually recreational.
Like that pig yesterday.
Yeah, you just wanted to argue with her, even though it was a stupid argument. You wanted to argue
with her.
Now,
if it's a regular diet of that every day,
yeah, that gets a little.
Then I'd be sick of it. And like that guy just trying to call on and just trying to get on the tail of an argument that happened yesterday.
Yeah, it's not as fresh.
No, it didn't work on me.
Not as fresh.
People like conflict, and without conflict, there's no drama. And without drama, well, where are you?
See, but like I told my wife yesterday, I said, you just got to be careful on that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, trust me, we only really yell at people maybe 5 times a week.
Yeah, once a day, we usually have the argument du jour.
I said, really? She says, don't you think that's a lot?
And we don't have a real meltdown like yesterday. We had probably one of those once a week, I would say.
Yeah.
Really, not more than once a week.
Yeah, I said I try to keep a handle on that. You know what I mean?
Right.
I try to keep it in control.
Yeah,
but you know, when the lady yesterday is a classic example. It was just, she was the kind that you just wanted to argue with because it was fun to argue with. I think she was enjoying it as much as we were enjoying it.
I just don't want people like that to get the upper hand on me.
Of course.
I just really don't. It's a pissing contest. You know what I mean? It's great to have this forum to be able to be in a pissing contest with people.
And,
and furthermore, I wish my wife wouldn't psychoanalyze me when I get home at night.
Well, you know,
I'll get my wife on the phone, Robbie.
Take the psychoanalysis aside. When we're doing that, I really think when we're in the middle of that, I think of the person leaving work that just had a fight with their boss,
right?
And I think of that person going, you know, just grinning ear to ear. Here's somebody else who's getting into a fight. It's got to be satisfaction. I hope that happens.
I'm going to tell her to stop analyzing me.
She's right about you being easy to pick on, though. You are easy to pick on.
Because you make your dislikes so public.
That's the heart on the sleeve factor, mm-hmm. once again. You can't, anybody that lets it all hang out and lives like out in the open like you do, it makes it easy to pick on.
Yeah, well, I'm going to pick on her now. Stop analyzing me.
She wears her heart on her sleeve, too.
Forwarded to an automatic voice message.
Hello,
system.
Frida Source.
Frida Source is not available.
Okay.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To choose a short message to be displayed on the cellular phone of the person you are calling,
that's a little
press
busy.
6 now.
Stop analyzing me. I love you. I'll see you tonight.
And you. To send the page, call home.
Oh,
the topic
1.
You have chosen
is
mouth rot and the green iguana.
That is just a mess. Why can't I just leave her a regular old message? Yeah, you know, last night I'm trying to sit down and have my dinner. I said, hey, let's watch Hank Hill.
Yeah.
We start watching a Hank Hill show.
Oh, is this her?
Oh. Hello?
Sugar Bear, you can tell everybody you just do it for the radio.
Please, don't analyze me.
Yeah, but when you're talking about it at home, you really do wear your little feelings on your sleeve.
Listen, please, don't analyze me.
She said Lil, L-I-L.
I've already got you analyzed. You mean, don't tell me I'll analyze you, but I have to keep it to myself.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
When I get home at night after a day at work, I don't want to sit down and rehash the show with you.
You brought it up. You were showing me your jeans. I didn't even hear it. So how would I have gotten it?
Oh, no. You heard it. You told me you heard it.
I didn't hear it.
You told me you heard it.
Well, I lied.
You lied.
Oh.
You lied to me.
I said I heard it, but you brought it up.
Oh. Oh, you lied to me.
I tell you, I listen all the time. Yeah, you're doing great.
So that's a lie, too.
Sometimes. Sometimes because your feelings get hurt if I say, no, I didn't listen to the
Do you think that's healthy, to lie to me?
Are you happier?
When you lie to me? Well, yes, sometimes I am. I'll be honest, sometimes I am.
Right. There you go.
All right, but listen, the message is just don't analyze me.
Look, I try being honest with you.
When I come home, if I want to talk about the show or Ken Stevens or anything, you know all I want from you? I just want you to go, yes, yes.
All right.
You're a great husband. You're a great provider. You know, I don't want to feel like I'm sitting down at my analyst's.
No, you know what? I'll be like a true analyst, and I'll just say, and what do you think about that?
How does that make you feel?
Yeah. That'll be my response.
That's how they do it.
All right.
How does that make you feel, right?
Yeah.
No, but really.
I have my little notepad, and I'll just sit there and write notes while you tell me.
Like Lorraine Bracco in
The Sopranos.
The Sopranos.
That's right.
No, all I wanted to do last night was just say, hey, listen, I had a good. What did I tell you when I came home last night? Hey,
and then
I had a good argument on the show today.
And then I tell you, oh, you're so skinny. All book club thought you were skinny. You're a supermodel. I tell you these things all the time.
Oh, but that's
true.
You're just blowing smoke. See, I know when you're blowing smoke.
That's not. You are my supermodel.
Listen,
you're very skinny. You're Reed. You're Audrey Hepburn.
Now you're patronizing me.
How can you tell?
Don't analyze me. Don't patronize me.
So
real simple.
In other words, don't talk to you.
Right, yeah, don't talk to me.
All right.
Just don't talk to
Bye.
Me.
Bye.
Okay.
Love you.
I love you.
Bye, see.
Love you.
I thought that went well.
That's settled.
I thought that was
It's a mess. My life is a mess.
Oh, man.
It's a total mess, like a poopy diaper.
Oh. You got a poopy diaper?
It really is.
You got a poopy diaper.
My life's just a total mess.
Now you're talking my language.
Hello.
I got those. I can bring one of those in any day if you want. If you want to see what a real poopy diaper is all about.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, this is Al Franken. Hello? I was wondering if you knew if the Pope was circumcised or not.
Oh, come on.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Hey.
Hey, Mike.
Hello.
Hey, if you get a hand for Dennis Murphy, you got to get him a girl's hand. That way it won't be a gay thing.
Get him a girl's hand.
It's another man that can't think of hand in any possible other context.
Right.
Hello.
Don.
Buddy.
Buddy. Hey,
I suddenly went right out to Reno when you said that, and into that bordello where he was getting washed.
Him sitting on the toilet with a prostitute washing him after he was unable to perform.
Yes, he's gotten lucky occasionally. Yeah, very occasionally. Once every 10 years or so.
Hello.
Hey, yeah, me and my buddy, when we were younger, we were over with his dad, and he was in his wood shop, and his dad cut his finger off of his hand, and it landed on the floor, and a lot of times you have dogs that are in there, and the dog ate it.
Really?
It came off of his hand.
Yeah, as opposed to, you said that the second time. I'm glad you cleared that up. Because normally when you cut a finger off, it comes off of your foot.
Hello,
Hello.
Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Listen, this was either yesterday or day before, but I heard you talking about how you always mentally undress women.
Yes.
And then in the same sentence, you mentioned Janet Reno.
Yeah.
I have seen her. I used to live in Miami. You would not mentally undress Janet Reno.
Well, listen, I have mentally addressed Janet
on the TV.
Oh,
on the TV.
No. You've never seen her up close and personal, then.
I don't care how skanky, how old, how manlike a woman is. I'm telling
it's
you.
A very brief thought, but it's a thought.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Thank you, Mike. It passes through my mind. I've mentally undressed.
She's got bigger balls than me.
Takes a microsecond, but it happens.
You process it. You picture. You
it's
know.
Not like it's not like an erotic thing at all. But it's just you say it's a curiosity thing.
Oh, yeah, well, to me it would have been a real turnoff. I wouldn't have been able to finish my dinner.
Right. I mean, haven't you ever been in like a store, and you see a real pig, and you just kind of go,
and you go,
what would that look like?
And you know what?
And you don't do it in the thing like, hey, what would that? You do that. What would that look like?
But the thought process is so fast. The thought process is not even what would that look like. It's by the time you say what would that look like,
it's like a quick picture.
Your mind has already told you what it would look like. You've already been repulsed, and you walk away.
Right.
But it does not stop you from wondering.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it can happen with any woman. It can happen with any woman.
Even the women that work here in this building.
Of course. And some women that, you know, sometimes I will give that guy the fact that sometimes you don't think to process that, but right. You're capable of doing it with any woman, no matter what.
With me, it's involuntary. every woman I see, what would she look like naked? Bang. Next to them, what would she look like naked?
Well, you're the Cal-El of that. I mean, you can actually, do it. You can do it subconsciously. You can do it over the phone. Of course, we all can do it. On this show, we all can do it over the phone.
And we do. Mm-hmm.
Hello.
The polyphemus moth is related to the Luna moth.
What?
Why don't you remove the sock from your mouth and say that again?
Oh,
and he's gone.
Hung up. All right, he hung up. Listen, let's do a quick break. We will be right back with much more show, okay?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And the newsletter's just about ready to go out. All I need now is the Hank Stutz column.
Okay. Oh, right. Right. Oh, mm-hmm.
No.
Thoughts. It's October, and we all know what that means. If Princess Di were here, I'd tell her, hang in there. Kill for a dreamsicle right now. Now, maybe it's me, but I think Sharon Bliss should be on TV every night. If I had my druthers, there would be no more world hunger. What do you think?
Couple more.
I sure do miss the cow sills. That mini-skirted mom sure was sexy.
Jesus.
I think that's Jerry and Sally f***ing in the parking lot.
Wow!
I am telling you, nothing beats that missionary position.
I think I have enough, thanks.
Yeah, hurry up and put it in the computer and get it out to the fans.
I might just do a little editing.
No. We never edit Hank's thoughts.
Right. Hey, Hank.
Goodness.
Come here.
Listen. Come here.
Don't make me look at your car again. What? Jesus, I just talked to him.
Yeah, get a load of that. God, that little rat bastard. I thought you had a talk with him.
I did.
Hell of a lot of good it did. If he bangs her any harder, the airbags are going to inflate.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
That's Bruce Willis, of course, from Die Hard 3.
Yes.
I was reading that he's been pushing off the thought of doing another Die Hard movie, but after his relative insuccess recently, hold on, I'm sure Rob has something more important. Yes, Rob.
Well, I just spotted Mitch Johnson. Would you like me to snag him?
You know, actually, that is more important. Please do bring him to us.
Yes, and the door is opening now, and I believe he's ready to make his appearance in here.
Well, anyway, Bruce Willis doesn't want to do any more. Hey, come on in, Mitch. Bruce Willis doesn't want to do any more Die Hard movies.
Hello?
Hey, hi. Let me talk to Mommy.
Okay. I just wanted to tell you.
Yeah.
One kid did mention you about your work at the drink stand. Ben did.
Oh, your friend Ben? What did he say?
He remembered you working there.
Oh, all right. Thank you, bud. That's all. Hi, let me talk to Mommy now.
Okay,
hang up. Too many things are happening here.
I wanted a lot of plates spinning at the same time.
I want to talk about Bruce Willis, and Mitch Johnson just walked in, and I wanted to ask you, all right, honey, here's the question. Just researching this for later.
Yes, my boo-boo.
In 1998,
mm-hmm.
How many Monicas do you think I've gotten?
I don't know. You are on your own on this topic. There are certain topics that I don't.
I thought one.
Well, are you just saying for me?
yeah, right now we're just talking about just you.
Well, you write them in your diary. I don't keep track. I try and
is she right?
I try and forget about them as quickly as I can.
She blocks them.
Oh, yeah.
I think one.
All right, good. I'm happy for you.
All right. Bye, honey.
Bye.
God. See, I thought there might be more.
Right. Hey. Well, you remember, though. You know, you knew one, and you know.
Of course I remember.
Yes.
Here's a girl who's given four in the last 2 days.
Incredible.
Hello.
Same guy?
I don't know. Lisa? Our car phone just broke up.
Oh, man.
Well, maybe she'll call back. All right, more on that topic and more on Bruce Willis doing all kinds of bad movies but not wanting to do another Die Hard movie, which you should do. But first, here is Mitch Johnson, the man who ruined Buzz Burbank's day today. Mitch, step up to the microphone,
Hello, gentlemen.
Hanging his head in shame.
Let me first congratulate you on your recent rating success. I understand that,
hey, Mitch.
Washington. And I like to say that I'm sure that a big part of that was maybe our friend Buzz Burbank with his colorful newscast, his
Mitch, how
news
mad,
coverage.
How mad did Buzz get at you today?
I've never seen Buzz quite so mad before.
Really? No, so he really went off on you, huh?
He was a little steamed.
How loud did he yell at you, Mitch?
Yeah, he wasn't real loud. He just had that fire in his eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, you just kind of knew that you screwed up.
Was he very intense?
He was intense, very intense. Yes.
How do you feel about his demand that you pay to fix his bumper?
I didn't quite hear the demand, but
yeah, what Buzz was saying earlier on the program, Mitch, I'll paraphrase it for you, was that SOB better come up with at least $500 for me to get this car fixed.
Perhaps there's a sponsor out there who might want to help fix Buzz's bumper. And
don't you feel any guilt at all?
I do. Absolutely, I feel guilt.
Didn't you know that was Buzz's spot?
You know, I didn't, and that's what I feel bad about, because I heard you guys talking about Buzz getting a spot, but it never dawned on me where that spot may be. So I just parked in it. I'd like to blame Alan Linewan for part of that as well.
Good. I love buck passing. Why are you blaming your boss?
Well, because if you wouldn't have had such an early sales meeting, I wouldn't have been here so early, and somebody else probably would have parked there. And
you like to roll in normally, about noon?
He's no Tim McWilliams, Mike.
You could take some lessons from Tim McWilliams, Mitch.
Yes, I do.
Absolutely. He's nose to the grindstone, fella.
He wastes a lot of time in the office.
Something you'd like to say? He wastes a lot of time in the office?
No, he spends a lot of time in the office, yeah.
Would there be something you wanted to say to Buzz?
Oh, I told Buzz earlier, I said, you know, I'm very sorry that happened. I feel bad. I really do.
Do you accept his apology, Buzz?
I do. I do accept.
Why'd you make him kiss your foot or something? Come here, take your shoe off. Come here, take your shoe off.
John, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Would you have accepted Mitch's apology?
Of course not. Yeah. I would have gotten the money from him.
Just the kind of guy.
This is punishment enough.
Really, I would. Guys, in your place?
We can discuss that.
How much do you think it's going to cost to fix your bumper?
I've heard that this kind of injury to a bumper can be refinished out for about $250.
You know, but for immediacy, I think, Mitch, it would be very magnanimous if you would at least let Buzz cut your tie in half and put it on his wall.
Is that a nice tie you have on today?
This is an expensive tie.
Okay, scissors, please. Buzz,
scissors.
Buzz likes that. Who did we do that to already?
We've done it to
CJ. CJ.
That's right. We cut
CJ.
He had a $75 tie. Yours cost more than CJ's?
No, I don't spend that.
All right, good.
All right, come on in, Buzz.
Scissors in here.
Here we go. Glorious payback for Buzz Burbank.
All right, fantastic. And then all will be closed.
Oh, we need scissors or we need a razor blade.
Scissors?
You got a razor blade?
Yeah. Oh, we got a razor blade. Here you go.
All right, Dad.
All right. All right, Buzz.
I don't know if I can do this.
Oh, yes, you can.
This is one.
Yeah, this is a cheap tie, Buzz. Maybe I should bring a better one in.
Scissors, Charlie?
Buzz, why don't you describe the tie that you're about to cut in half?
Let's see. Let's look at the label. It's from Britches of Georgetown, a fine establishment.
Nice tie.
And it's a lovely tie. It's a nice fabric.
What color is it there, Buzz? Kind of maroony?
Yeah, maroon with a kind of a paisley golden green pattern on it.
Here's super producer Charles Broyle with a large pair
of my
hospital-sized scissors.
Now, he didn't do a lot of damage to the bumper. He did damage it, so I just thought I'd take maybe a corner.
No. Don't wuss out.
You have to cut. There you go.
Here?
Might as well just, let's hear it, Buzz. I want to hear
right
it.
Here?
I want to hear it. Everybody quiet, please.
Look at him wince.
Here we go.
Oh, man.
I do like this tie.
Oh, well. Do they have more?
Yeah, the second
piece. Very nice.
Second piece. You know, that's a pretty good look with the little tie hanging down.
It's not like I had very many of nice ties to begin with. So
and may I keep this as a souvenir?
Yes, put it on your wall,
that's
Buzz.
That's your souvenir. That's your trophy.
That's your hunk of flesh. That's your ounce of flesh.
Are we even?
A friendly handshake. Isn't that wonderful?
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you, Mitch. You may go now.
Bye-bye.
There you go.
All right, now let's get back to the girl who's given four Monicas in the last 2 days.
Ah, yes.
Here she is now, Lisa.
Hey, baby, it ain't so.
Say what ain't so?
Say you don't get enough Monicas. I mean, come on.
No, I've been married. I will have been married for either 17 or 18 years in August, and I believe it was way back in the 80s was when I used to get a healthy diet of Monicas.
I was married, and I gave them to my husband.
Right, my wife's busy now.
No excuse.
Are you the person that's done four in the last 2 days?
Yes.
For one guy?
for one guy, and I'll tell you this.
Oh, it's killing me.
This is my boyfriend, and I separated from my husband not long ago, and I've given my separated, soon-to-be ex-husband this year than you have gotten yourself.
Wait a minute. You have, your phone was breaking up. You've given your ex-husband, who you're separated from, more Monicas in 1998 than I've received with my happy, dreamy marriage?
Yes.
Did you give him? Did you give him Monica's after you were separated from him?
You use a fluoride toothpaste.
Wait a minute! You gave him a Monica after you were separated?
How did your boyfriend feel about that? Was the boyfriend around while this was going on?
Sure.
Really?
Sure.
How does he feel about that?
I don't know.
Why did you do that to your husband if you're separated from him?
Like it.
You like it.
I like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
All right. Well, why are you two breaking up?
Grew apart.
You grew apart. How long were you together?
Not your lips and his thing. I didn't grow apart.
10 years.
10 years of marriage. And now you have a boyfriend.
Will you give him Monica's even after you're divorced?
No. That's ceased now.
Oh, you mean so you're not even, now that you're separated, you don't see him anymore?
No, she said that she gave him Monica's after they were separated.
Yeah, but I've ceased as of now. He has somebody else that can give him those now.
Ah, okay. So for a while, right after you separated, you kept it going that
exactly.
way.
All right, thank you.
I just feel bad for you.
Right, thank you. Thank you, whore. Bye-bye.
Oh,
hello, Don and Mike show. Hey, my wife's a good girl. Hello.
Hi, I'm Mike. Hi, Don.
Hi there.
Buzz.
Hey.
I have the same problem. I can give a Monica like a dying queer, but my husband just doesn't.
Oh, my God. What a sensitive comment that was.
Is she right?
I don't think so.
Wow.
Come on now. What?
Huh? Well, you know how they like those, you know. And really, he just doesn't get into it.
Oh, my. Well, you've just offended all of the dying queers listening to the show tonight.
No, probably not. They know what they'd like to have.
How many you figure you've given in 98?
98? None.
None?
None.
Wow. He just...
What's wrong? Is your jaw wired or something?
No, I have real good jaw muscles. I could probably suck a golf ball through a garden hose.
Boy, you are a bad girl, but you say you haven't participated in any Monica's.
No, he just won't let me.
You know, the more we talk to you, two words are coming to mind right now. Hold on. First word.
You say you haven't participated.
First word. Turn your radio down. Why? White trash.
I have the tattoos. I'm looking for a trailer now.
There you
All
go.
Right. Thank you, honey.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you, sweetness.
All right. Goodbye. You turned the radio up real loud. That was a whore, and then we took a call from white trash.
It's been a full show, Don.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, isn't a Monica part of every lovemaking session?
Oh, maybe on Mars.
Boy, I tell you, where you just got back from fantasy land.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but...
How long you been with your woman?
15 years.
And every time that's involved?
Yeah, it's foreplay, man.
Well, I mean, it can be, but it's, you know, not a routine in every lovemaking session.
Sort of.
All right, yeah, way to rub it in, okay. Thanks.
All right.
I feel real good about myself now.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, guys, I wanted to talk to you about that C that just called in about the dying queer.
Yes.
Are you a gay man?
That would be me.
Yes.
I mean, most days I'd rather do a Monica than eat dinner, but man, nobody wants to get it done by some trailer trash with maybe one tooth and
Oh, my God, it's getting festive.
Meow.
Yeah, that's okay.
She was just totally pissed because she can't get a little action and all the boys are probably working her trailer trash husband.
Yes, that's right. All right, thank you.
I don't mean to sound bitter.
That's okay.
I think you sound great.
Thank you, sir.
He's bitter.
I'm a little...
I think when the lady called with that nasty comment, our homosexual friend, he was bitter.
He was bitter. Thank you, Jerry.
Radio guys. Thank you, sir.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, how are you?
Don, great, thanks.
For the record, Don, I would like to say that I've had about 25 Monicas, even at my advanced age. Absolutely.
Don't doubt it. And I bet it's bitter afterwards. Speaking of bitter.
Just like bitter lemon.
Hello.
That's right.
Yeah, I've been married 15 years. I haven't seen Monica in 16.
Wow.
Right. That's what it's really like, sir.
That's the real world.
Thanks for painting the real picture. Thank you. You know, we should start a club. You know, guys who don't get Monica's club.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just a member.
I'm the president.
I'm the president. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. One more call. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I thought it was definitely part of every session. I've been with my guy for 15 years and thought it was part of every session.
Right.
Well, for you, it is. And I think that your husband should be grateful.
I can't believe that you got one this year. That's very sad.
No, though, every session since you've been married, every single session.
Maybe not one or two.
Yeah, uh-huh. Because there are times, really, simply in the throes of passion where there wouldn't be enough time for that. Really? Where you just want to get right to it.
Well, I think that's the better part of it, too, though.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
Goodbye.
All right, goodbye. Goodbye, banana breath. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Welcome to the latest weather forecast brought to you by Verizon.
The current temperature is 32 degrees. The winds are out of the west at 5 miles per hour. Here's your current forecast from the National Weather Service.
It's going to be really snowy. A good chance to stay inside and have hot chocolate. And if you put a fire on, you can toast marshmallows. Because the snow will be coming down just like Christmas. And then once it falls, you can go out and go sledding. Because we're supposed to get some snow.
Thank you for listening to the forecast.
Bye.
The Don and Mike Show. Merry f***ing Christmas. From the Don and Mike Show.
Now listen, the Valentine's Day weekend.
Yes.
As you know, my wife considers it to be like a national holiday.
Oh, yeah.
She feels it's a very significant holiday. And I'll tell you why it was important to me. It was important to me because so horny.
Me so horny?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But more than normal. Because really? It's a combination of things over the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
First off, I've been wearing that brace on my leg from my MCL surgery.
Yeah, you've been gimping around a little bit.
So I had a brace on that went all the way from my ankle all the way up to my crotch area, which kind of cut down on my maneuverability.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
All right. Then my wife had hormones,
mm-hmm.
which affected her, and she went crazy. Then she went out of town.
Right.
So she wasn't around. And then when she got back in town, Aunt Flo came to visit.
So it's been a long period of time where you haven't fulfilled your marital obligation.
Right, it's been like almost 2 weeks.
Wow.
And I was just going crazy. So all day Saturday, I kept dropping hints all day. Honey, how about it? I'm about to explode here.
And in your case, they're not hints. It's more like, you know, more like little mortars going off in front of her.
Right? Me like sex.
Groping.
Sure.
And
I mean, yeah, I've been trying
hints,
to be...
Hints along the line, like, me want have sex now.
Yeah, I've been trying to be romantic, but
right.
Let's be honest, it was kind of past that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I kept saying to her, when? And she said, okay, tonight. Meaning Saturday night.
Excellent.
So...
It's the way you guys do it. It's, you know, you don't need the spontaneity. You just kind of like arrange a time.
You make an appointment.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I'm waiting, and the clock is moving very slowly. We went to a movie. I'll tell you about that later. We went out to dinner. We got back home. 10 o'clock. I'm thinking, okay, get the kid in bed. I said, Bart, 10 o'clock, time to go to bed. He says, Dad, I don't go to bed at 10 o'clock. I want to watch South Park.
Right.
And I said, no. Bed, you must go to bed.
Something far more powerful at work here.
So he's all upset at me, like, I don't want to go to bed. I don't go to bed. I'm not tired. Go read. Go in your room and read. Just go. Go and shut the door in there. So I got him in his room.
Right.
Door shut. I'm ready for my wife. But what does she have to do? She has to practice the piano first.
Oh, dear.
So I'm laying in bed, and I mean...
It's a form of foreplay.
I'm ready. But I'm listening to her play the goddamn piano out there. And she plays every song three times.
Right.
And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and now it's 10:20, okay? And she's still... I'm in the bedroom. I'm laying in bed, and I go, honey, what are you doing?
I'm ready.
She goes, I'm practicing piano. I'll be there in a second. So finally she comes into the bedroom. It's now 10:30. I've been waiting a half hour. I go... Come on, let's get it on. She says, wait a minute.
And you say it like they do in Ultimate Fighting, right?
Let's get it on! She said no, that she had to go wash her face and had to put her cream on and do all that other stuff. So I'm waiting. Now it's 10:40. Not that I'm keeping track of the clock or anything, but 10:40.
Time is important to you when it comes to this.
10:40 and I'm ready for some action. Then a new set of snafus happen. The dog comes in the bedroom. Our little dog, Max. Right?
Can you function with a dog in the bedroom?
No. I cannot. And this was a big stumbling block. Because I said to her, I don't want the dog on the bed while we're making love.
No, that's unacceptable.
It's out. And she said, well, if I put him on the floor, he's just going to bark. He wants to be up here with us.
That's got to be unacceptable, too.
Right. The barking's driving me crazy. So she puts him on the floor, and we start kissing and stuff, and then the dog's going, and I'm so mad at this dog.
He thinks you're attacking her.
I'm so pissed at this dog. No, nothing has been happening yet. Then she says, bring him up. Bring the dog up on the bed. I said, honey,
oh, God,
I'm not going to have sex in front of the dog.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I can't do it. I can't perform it at this point.
No way.
Now I'm getting mad. Now it's 10:45. I said, listen, it's been so long, it's going to take me 30 seconds to finish this deal. Just get rid of the dog. And then she got mad at me because I'm getting mad at her.
Oh,
and she said, well, no, I thought you loved the dog. And I said, okay, listen. I walked to the dog and said, listen, F you, dog. She goes, don't talk to him like that. I picked him up. It's a little one, Max. I pick him up. I grab him. I say, why do you do this to me? I'm shaking him. And I go, and I take the dog, and I put him in with my son.
Mm-hmm.
My son says, what are you doing? I said, here, dog's sleeping with you tonight. Here you go. I put the dog in on the bed with my son, shut the door, say, don't come out, watch TV, read a book, whatever you're doing.
Stay in there. Read something to the dog.
So now I got the dog taken care of. I go back. There's my wife in bed. I said, ah, finally. Now, she's got TV on. She's got VH1 on.
Right.
And they're doing that show, Where Are They Now?
Okay.
And she says to me, oh, look, Christopher Cross. Whatever happened to Christopher Cross?
She's really intrigued, but she's toying with you.
And then, no, she wasn't.
She's seriously interested in that.
And I got mad. I said, F Christopher Cross. Well, you could see Christopher Cross anytime. And she said, now we're not going to do it.
Because you ruined the romantic moment.
So right. I said, all right, I'm laying back in bed. I go, listen, all right, I'm sorry. The dog got me uptight. Bard got me uptight.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Cross got me uptight. Okay, can we start over? And she says yes. So we start kissing and stuff. And then she goes, oh, wait a minute, hold on. Huey Lewis. Whatever happened to Huey Lewis?
Oh, my God.
Didn't you interview Huey Lewis on your show? And I lost. I said, honey, I said, this is ridiculous. I said, all I want to do is have love, and you got to bring the dog up. Then it's Christopher Cross up. Now it's what happened to Huey Lewis. F Huey Lewis, F me. And then she said, no.
Definitively no?
Yeah, no. Ooh. No, no love tonight.
Well, you're not being very loving.
So they said, all right, it's fine. You know, F you. So I leave the room for a second.
Said that?
Yeah. I said, F you. Hmm. Probably you're ridiculous. And I went out and I sat in the living room for about 5 minutes.
And would it be safe to say that kind of frustration and anger in a man is unparalleled? I mean, when you're when you're angry because of that frustration, because something goes wrong, I mean, I
was,
personally, it's very frustrating.
Even for me, I'll say this about me, it was an ugly performance. And normally I think everything I do is beautiful, but it was an ugly performance by me.
You weren't proud of your behavior.
I was so angry. I was angry at her, angry at the dog, angry
right.
at my son, angry at VH1.
Sure.
I went in the other room and I just pouted for a minute. And I'm sitting out there looking at my watch going, she's going to come out any second. She's going to come out any second. 5 minutes go by.
Even through your anger, it's tempered by the fact that you think she's going to come back to you and maybe say, hey, I'm sorry I was like that, and you guys are going to fulfill your marital obligations.
Right. So I thought, I'll wait 5 minutes. I waited 5 minutes. She didn't come out. I said, okay.
You're getting angrier during this.
I'll wait 5 more minutes. Then I'm going in there. I'm just going to force myself on.
Oh, God.
Right?
Oh, no.
I waited 5 more minutes.
Yes.
I go back in. I open the door. I go, well, here I am. And she goes, there you are. And then I had to cower a little bit. I said, listen,
and apologize.
I'm sorry. I said, you know, the dog and the TV, and it's been 2 weeks, and I just want my love. So finally, then, we do it. We do it, and as predicted, it took maybe 30 seconds. I mean,
way to go, stud.
I mean,
bravo.
Maybe 30 seconds. But as soon as that happened,
Team Angel,
then I melted. It was like I said, oh. And then
you're a happy man.
Then I came with all the apologies, and then they were natural.
And then you immediately want to know what's on the TV.
Yeah, I said, honey, I am so sorry that I yelled at the dog, and I'm so sorry that I put Bart in his room. I'm so sorry. And then I told her all about what happened to Huey Lewis and junk.
It's a feeling of triumph.
Yeah, but it was a huge fight,
right?
Building up to this love on Saturday night
makes the making up all the better, though.
Yeah, kind of.
So everything's right with the world.
Yes, every day
since
was
you
right.
fulfilled your marital obligation.
Yeah, and once that happened, bingo. I was a happy man.
Good.
Much easier to get along with.
Yeah, of course.
Hello.
Hello, honey.
Well, hi, my boo-boo.
I'm just discussing our Saturday night love tryst.
You are so romantic. You were at your romantic peak Saturday night.
Well, I think I told everything the way it happened, that Bart wouldn't go to bed. Then the little dog came up on the bed with us, and I got mad at the little dog. And then when I finally got all those fires put out, I come back to bed, and you start in with, oh, a Christopher Cross. Whatever happened to Christopher Cross?
Made the giant error of wasting time with conversation.
Right, we'll see, but it wasn't even love conversation. It was about Christopher Cross. And then finally I said, listen, just shut up with that. Let's just get to it. And then you came back with, oh, Huey Lewis. You said, oh, Huey Lewis. Whatever happened to Huey Lewis?
The stampeding bull could not be stopped at that point.
You had the TV on, and I just was making conversation. It was light conversation. It would have taken you 1 minute to say, I don't know, darling.
Honey,
I haven't watched the show yet.
I was crazy. I was crazy from the heat.
Yeah, so instead, you got me hot with that shut up kind of love talk that I enjoy.
Well, some girls respond to that.
Yeah, right.
Oh, God, yeah, right.
But I having the ultimate bluff and the ultimate one-upmanship said, well, I don't feel like it. Now let's just forget it.
Yeah, no, I said that.
And I, you know, if you're out of the mood, then just forget it, knowing that there was no way that was going to
I'd never be out of the mood.
Yeah, right.
Never out of the mood.
But then, and I think I explained this also realistically, that after the act was over and the pressure was released, I cowered immediately and, you know, and rightly so, apologized.
I'm sorry.
That's what I said. I'm sorry.
A little impression there.
Is that how he said it?
It was a little Dennis Murphy, yes.
Unbelievable.
Un-effing believable. So it was a good weekend once we got past that.
Once we got that bit of business out of the way and you could relax, yes, it was a nice weekend.
Yes, it was.
All right, boo-boo.
My wife enjoyed the curlers very much that I gave her in the...
My wife enjoyed them.
In the bet that we had.
Didn't I tell you that was the thing I wanted the least?
And we also had a fight about money. There's a surprise. Mm-hmm. But listen, we're up at Ocean City, okay?
Yeah.
And on Saturday afternoon, I was going to take my son down to the boardwalk. We're going to play the video games in the arcade.
Mm-hmm.
And so I dropped my wife off at the boat show. Because I figure that's a place she can get into no trouble.
And
right?
I asked you to come with me.
Oh,
I asked
honey.
You pleadingly to come with me.
Why am I going to want to go to a boat show?
You know, well, why do you watch the Food Network? The same reason, just for mild entertainment. Only you're walking around and you're outside. I mean, you don't cook, and you watch This Old House.
You watch? Do you watch the Food Network?
Yeah, I watch that guy Emeril.
Emeril.
Oh yeah.
My man.
Yeah, right. I love him.
You watch Emeril?
Bam.
Yeah. We have that in common.
Yeah, I watch him all the time.
I didn't even know that. Emeril's he's the man.
I watch him all the time.
He's the greatest.
Food is right. I don't cook, yet I enjoy watching that. I don't do anything around the house, but I like watching This Old House.
Right, and so you could go to the boat show without buying a house. It's just entertainment.
No,
and without buying a boat.
Looking back in retrospect, I should have, because I drop her off 11:30.
Right.
I say, we will be back to pick you up at 1 o'clock.
There was too much time for me.
Have a good time. I come back, and I pick her up. She says, well, I bought us kayaks. Now, I wasn't upset about the fact that she bought kayaks, although I know that this could be another one of the great purchases my wife makes
right.
that will just take up space in the garage and mean that I have to park my car outside instead of parking in the garage.
How much can kayaks cost?
Huh. Let's play The Price is Right.
Really?
Mike, how much would you pay for two kayaks?
Well, are these kayaks each one-person kayaks?
Yes, they are.
That's what a kayak is, right? I mean, it's for one
how
person.
How much?
One kayak? I figure $150.
Okay.
For each you're not up to date on your kayak purchasing.
No, I've never priced them.
Both of them together cost me over $1,000.
Wow.
So I had...
Well, that's some serious fiberglass.
I had a little bit of a conniption fit when she got in the car.
That's a lot of money.
And right
paddles. Their paddles were free because it was a boat show special.
Yeah, like they didn't see her coming. Like they didn't see her coming. And that's what she starts telling me.
Are they the best kayaks that money can buy?
Well, they were the only kayaks at the boat show. So
okay.
I don't know. I couldn't compare.
It's dangerous. You got to be careful with those.
So she got into the car and... We started having this fight about this. Cause
isn't the kayak the thing that almost killed you last summer, too?
Well, I tipped over in a kayak.
That's why I had to get a more expensive one, because I had to get him one that wouldn't flip so easy with him in it, because he did spin upside down and get stuck.
So you had to get him the kayak with training wheels? Is that what you had to get?
Get him the kayak with the most stable bottom.
It's a kayak that you don't even sit in. It doesn't, like, have an area that's been hollowed out to sit in. You just sit on top of it like a surfboard.
Well, that's cool.
Huh. It's man.
Yeah, for
$1,000, that's cool.
It's exercise. And Bart can go, and he, Bart was helping me because he said he could fish out golf. There's a place to kayak near a golf course. If he fished out golf balls, it would only take $300 to pay for the kayak.
That's right. Hey, you know, he's got a good business mind,
yeah,
doesn't he?
He's thinking.
Oh, so I was really mad about that because my wife generally doesn't make crazy impulse purchases like
right,
that. And at
right.
first I wasn't even mad. It was like kayaks. Well, all right, it's another one of your passing fancies. Okay, how much were they? And then it just kind of blows right by. What was $1,100? But I got a great buy-in for the boat show.
Yeah,
like they didn't see you coming into the Civic Center. Like, okay,
did she have them with it? Did you have them with you?
No. We have to wait a couple weeks. But it'll be, you know, to get outside and do some exercise where you're not just watching TV.
Everything is TV with you. Everything in our life comes back to TV with you.
Because I want to physically do something that doesn't involve the TV. I like being outside. I like sports. I don't like watching them. So, I bought something so that we could play outside.
$1,000. It's just a lot of money. It's just a lot of money for a plastic boat.
But if it brings your family great joy, you know, no price is too high.
I will tell you, I will give you a follow-up this summer.
Right.
When I tell you about the one time this summer that we use the kayaks, and then how they take up space in our garage.
Right.
Along with all the other crap in our garage.
And what do you think it would be a reasonable amount of time to use something that, like that?
Honey, I don't think we needed to buy them.
No. Say that I bought them, and say what you would say it was justified if I used it how many times a month?
You'd have to be out on that kayak every friggin' weekend.
No, but you're saying 4 times a month. If I use it 4 times a month...
If you use it 4 times a month all summer long, maybe it would be worth $1,000.
All right, and if I don't... then I will pleasure you in any way that you like. No dogs, no kid, no TV.
Really?
Right.
Even the thing you don't like doing?
I don't use it 4 times a month.
Even the thing you don't like doing?
Yes, during the summer months.
I think she's going to be living on that kayak now.
And do you mean, are you talking about a full Monica?
I'm saying that...
all the way, even the part you really don't like?
If that's what you want.
You know that's what I want.
All right. The summer months, I think...
Oh, looking at a big dildo doesn't gross you out, yeah. But just talking about a full Monica, that grosses you out?
Yeah, hearing you talk about it, yeah.
Well, that's two of us, but I'm being a good sport.
It's amazing what grosses you out and what grosses me out. It's very, very strange. There's a little piece of plastic over there. You're making me do this little movie thing in my head.
All right, honey, I love you.
All right, I love you too, boo-boo.
I love you.
All right.
I love you. You
I
hear
love
that?
You.
Love you.
All right, goodbye, sweetheart.
Even though we went to your crappy movie this weekend. We went to see the Alicia Silverstone movie.
It wasn't my movie.
How was that? Was that any good?
It was entertaining. It wasn't the worst movie we've ever seen.
Blast from the past.
I went to see that with my family, and then by myself I went to see Payback, mm-hmm. which is excellent. Payback is such a violent movie.
Mel Gibson. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like not a typical Mel Gibson movie.
Like Goodfellas violence?
Yeah, approaching Goodfellas violence, like okay. Guys getting their heads split open at one point where they got Mel Gibson just sitting in a chair,
right?
And they want to get him to talk, and he won't talk. So, of course, they're beating him up like in his face and everything. They pull out a hammer, and they start smashing his toes individually.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, really, really top notch.
That's worth the price of admission right there, smash toes.
Hammer time.
Hammer.
Hammer time. Oh, and one last thing about the weekend. My son
yes.
found... I don't want to call it a ride because it's not at the boardwalk in Ocean City that he loves.
Mm-hmm.
Made me do this thing. It's called the Shocker. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Okay. It's in with all the video games and junk and rides and stuff.
Right.
It's an electric chair. Now what you have to do is you sit in this and you put on each side are these big metal poles and you put your hands around these metal poles that are sticking out of the arms of this electric chair.
Right.
And it doesn't really shock you, but the pole vibrates, and it vibrates to the point where it gets hard to hold on to these metal poles.
Cool. It couldn't be an electric pulse going through there, right? When
you get done with it, oh my God, it's like your hands feel like ginger ale when you're done. You know
cool.
what I mean? They feel all bubbly.
Mm-hmm.
And when we sat down, there are two settings. There's mild,
right,
where it goes up to 1,000 volts,
not really, but that's what they said.
Right. And then the master where they have 2,000 volts.
Oh, cool.
I did it where it went up to 2,000, And I'm sitting there, and I can barely hold on. I'm going,
and is the object of the game to hold on to him?
Yes. And cool. I mean, if you make it to 2,000 volts like I did, smoke pours out of this thing. it's the most retarded game.
Is it designed like an electric chair?
It looks just like a real electric chair.
That's cool.
And it's called the Shocker.
I like it already.
And Bart and I must have dropped $10 in this thing this weekend. Because it was $1 every time you use it. We were like idiot and father out there. The two of us, the idiot son and the idiot father, would be like, he'd get in and he'd go, yeah, that's great, Dad, now you do it. And I would get in and go, yeah.
Now see, if you could only find an electric kayak, the whole family would be happy.
Yeah. It was fantastic. That's what I loved this weekend, was the electric chair, the Shocker.
Shocker.
Shocking. Ask for it by name. Hey, is he around, honey?
Yes, boo-boo. Oh, and then I'll call him. But also remind me to tell you sometime about my sister's past life.
Oh, I'm going to devote a whole show to that.
All right, good. Because I was involved in that one, too.
Remember when Frida went...
past life regression again?
Yeah, yeah. And then my sister had him.
Remember when Frida went and they told her that she'd been a hooker in a previous life?
No, they didn't tell me. I tell them.
Wasn't I some kind of military officer that killed the whole family?
Yeah, I think you took my parents away.
Oh, I'm sorry, Frida.
Yeah.
Her sister was supposedly killed by the Nazis in the Holocaust.
And
oh,
I was
God,
there.
Really?
You know, I had two bum lives in a row, which is why I'm having, a much more pleasant one this time. I think I died in Nazi Germany, too.
What a bunch of hooey that is. That they pay this lady an exorbitant amount of money to sit down, and she does like eeny, meeny, chili, beanie. Yeah. The spirits are about to speak.
Sugar, you should do it, because the lady is not, she's not conning you. If anything, you're conning yourself, because it all comes from your mouth.
Did she take money for having you sit down and put
yeah.
in that?
Yeah.
Lots of money. But she's not telling you, oh, you did this and you did that. You're telling her the story. So either it's a past life, or you're telling your subconscious. So subconsciously, I think I'm a hooker.
So that's the big life or subconscious. That's a big birthday gift that
and
my wife gave to her sister.
And just exemplified by the fact that I have to, prove the worth of a kayak with my services. Maybe it's so. Maybe I do have like a little mental problem that way.
Listen, put our boy on, please.
All right. Sorry.
Okay. I don't want to talk about that past life thing.
I didn't mean to confuse you. Hold on.
A past life thing. That's
a little scary.
Past life regression. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's very odd. It's very, but it comes from, most people say it comes from your own brain, your subconscious.
Yeah. Cuckoo.
It's kind of like a little play.
Cuckoo.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Cuckoo.
Cuckoo.
So you're paying to see a play, basically.
And it costs about as much as one kayak does.
Okay? Really?
Really? Yeah. I mean, it's buku.
That much?
Buku expensive to sit down with this fortune teller.
Oh, man. Rather not know.
Hello?
Hey, bud.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, how'd school go today?
Good.
Tell me, what's the name of that electric chair that we were in?
Shocker.
Shocker. Describe it, because I don't think I was doing a good job of describing it.
Okay, so you sit down in it, and there are like two metal handles on the sides.
Yeah.
And you just grip onto them, and I don't know what it does. It vibrates and maybe sends a little bit of an electric current onto it.
Yeah.
And you have to hold onto it while the current or whatever, the vibrations get higher and higher and higher.
Yeah, I think it's
and if you hold on long enough, smoke comes out?
Yeah.
Yeah, best game we've played at the boardwalk, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. Cool. I'd like to look for that one.
Very cool.
That's a shocker.
I love you.
Love you, too.
Hey, listen to this. Do you know what Kathy Lee Gifford did to Cody?
Made him come on the show.
Yeah, but she made him dress up like George Washington.
With the wig and everything.
And made him come out and sing the Star Spangled Banner. Would you do that for me?
No.
Okay. All right.
Good man.
All right, I'll see you, buddy.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
He'll ride the Shocker all day long, but he won't do that. That
yeah,
thing.
Good man. So that was my Valentine's Day weekend. And I know that you had an addition to your family this weekend.
Yes. Yes, a new member of the family, a brand new member of the family that we purchased over the weekend.
New doggy.
A new dog. A nice new doggy. Mm-hmm. A poodle.
Oh, but a real poodle, a giant, a full
size. A giant,
size,
yes,
poodle.
A giant poodle.
Giant poodle.
A giant standard poodle. The poodle standard, that will be about... yay big, but poodle all the way. And I won't be clipping him in that foo-foo way that you saw at the Westminster Dog Show.
Good.
Hamilton is his name.
Good name.
My first dog was named after my grandfather. Mm-hmm. My grandfather's first name was Oscar, so we named our first dog Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather's middle name was Hamilton. Mm-hmm. The poodle's name is Hamilton, and we call him Hammy for short. And you know how much he likes me?
How much?
He likes me so much that every time he sees me, he piddles. I picked him up the other day, and I said, and he's licking my face. I'm like, hello, Hammy. Hammy's already a member of the family. And I'm like, you like me so much, don't you? You like me, and I feel this warmth on my thigh. Oh. And it's because he was so excited. You know, he's only 4 months old.
Right.
And
why'd you get a poodle?
Because it's the best breed, most intelligent breed of dog on the face of the earth. And when I grew up, when I was a kid, we had a neighbor that had a whole bunch of them, and so we got one of them from the neighbors.
Yeah.
And this dog was so smart that it actually used to wheel my sister in the baby carriage, and my father would just walk, you know, smoking one of his cigarettes down the as I cough up along. And he'd be walking down the, and there are pictures, they have actual pictures of him walking casually along, and there in the baby stroller is my sister, and our dog, Caddy, is wheeling my sister in a baby carriage. And Caddy did a whole bunch of, like, superhuman Rin-Tin-Tin kind of dog things. Not all that I can remember now, but it was super, super smart. And so I've gone so many years, but I'd always in the back of my mind, this is a great breed of dog, great breed of dog. And then I see in the paper that the dog is advertised. And so I said, you know, standard jet black, standard poodles for sale. And I called the number, and I had to really just twist my wife's arm because she thinks poodle, poodle. You think poodle, right. And you see the poodles with
miniature.
The big foo-foo thing going, hello, my name is Hit. You know, and so I had to really...
Are you sure you don't have the HIV?
No, I don't.
You come in with like your fifth cold of the winter, and then
you
announce you just bought a poodle.
I know, and I'm gonna come in, you know, dressed in the candy striper shorts tomorrow. But I had to really talk Laura into it. I said, look, I know that you think poodles are like this, but standard poodles are not. First of all, they're not little dogs. Mm-hmm. They're middle-sized dogs. In fact, almost a little larger than medium-sized dogs. And they're also extremely affectionate.
For my money, they were even weirder looking when they're big like that.
Well, I mean, this is the. It is not a normal-looking dog. You're absolutely right. But this dog, as far as temperament and as far as lovability and all those good things that you want in a dog, this is the sweetest, calmest, most wonderful dog. And this dog immediately, you should see it next to my other dog, because Oscar is 120 pounds and he's snow white. And he looks like, you know, almost like a golden retriever, only a big one. He's snow white. Well, Hammy is jet black, has that big long poodle snout.
Use his full name.
Hamilton. Hamilton but I do call him Hammy. And Hamilton has this big long snout, and they look totally different, but they became immediate friends. But then at the very beginning, Oscar was trying to exercise his dominance over Hamilton.
Oh.
And there's only one way the dogs, even though they're both males and we've had Oscar fixed.
Sure.
Oscar, I said, why is Oscar doing that? And my wife said, well, that's because he's exercising his dominance. Well, I said, I hope he doesn't try to dominate me. But then he stopped doing it halfway through Sunday. He stopped doing it.
Stopped humping the other dog.
Stopped humping Hamilton. And then they've just been playing the whole time. And the main reason we got Hamilton was so that Oscar would have a playmate in the backyard.
Maybe they're gay.
They might be gay. They might. Well, I've always suspected that that Oscar might be a little gay.
Yeah, I know you've said that before.
Always suspected that. And Hamilton, it's tough to tell at 4 months because right now he's just, you know, on the receiving end of a lot of that. And but I already know that Hamilton will be the intelligent dog in the family. Hamilton will be directing Oscar. Because Oscar's just like, oh, I got a new play friend. Oh. And Hamilton's just like, okay, all right, nice to see you. But he's still puppy-like. And once we get Hamilton out of the habit of piddling, you know, every time he sees me or he gets excited,
bring
him
a picture.
I'll bring him in.
Even better.
I'll bring him. He's a great. Once he gets
bring him in tomorrow. I don't want to wait. Bring him in tomorrow.
I can't because he's at pee and poop stage.
Even better.
Okay, maybe I'll bring him in tomorrow. He is a wonderful dog. He's nursing me. He's nursing me through this terrible illness.
I'd love to meet your dog, George Hamilton.
George Hamilton.
Your dog, Brad Hamilton.
Scott Hamilton. Why am I saying Pete Hamilton? But that's
never heard of him.
No.
I am stuck. Alana, George's ex-wife.
Elena,
is that her name? Wasn't it the George
Alana?
Alana show.
Mm-hmm. She used Hamilton though.
When she was married to him, she did.
Call herself Alana Hamilton?
No, she didn't.
No, she didn't.
No, she didn't.
Hamilton. Hamilton Beach.
Who's Hamilton Beach?
The blender.
Oh, all right. King of the Hamiltons.
King of the Hamiltons. Hello.
King of the Hamiltons.
Hello, Hamilton. Daddy loves you.
Let's do a break. A lot of our calls are backed up, and perhaps we'll get to those in a moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hamilton, come over here. What are you doing?
I'm changing.
But you took off your Captain Hook uniform.
Well, I thought I'd put my street clothes on for the drive over to IBM. The uniform's kind of uncomfortable.
Hamilton, you're going over there as a representative of Captain Hook Fish and Chips. Part of our image, part of our appeal is that uniform. You know that.
You really want me to put the stuff back on?
Yes, I do. Show a little pride.
Yes, sir.
The Don and Mike Show.
Expertly aged, like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
To our phones. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hey, how you doing? It's a pleasure and an honor to get to talk to you. This is Jim from Las Vegas.
Yes, Jim.
Here
thank you, sir.
Here you are on the Hot Talk 105.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I was watching King of Queens last night. I cut the last end of it, not the last segment, and I'm trying to find your picture on the fridge. I need a little help. It's kind of hard.
Everybody needs a little help.
I know.
We're about middle on the right-hand side of the refrigerator.
Okay.
The door that you open up on the right side.
Uh-huh.
Real easy to spot because I have on a white T-shirt.
Okay.
And white shorts.
And there's a magnet covering half of our heads.
That's the one I thought it was. I thought. Yeah, it looks kind of a square, almost like a Polaroid picture.
Yeah, so if you got to look at it during last night's show, you're doing a yeoman's job.
It was really hard. I was straining my eyes looking at it on my 12-inch TV.
It was on very briefly last night. On a 12-inch TV, we got to be even smaller.
I know.
Man, I watch it on a 35-inch, and I can barely make us out.
Boy, you keep that 12-inch TV right next to the hot plate?
To tell you the truth, it's sort of like that. I'm temporarily staying in a bedroom with a friend while I buy a house, and I have everything I own compressed into this room. It's like sleeping in a Pullman car.
Gotcha.
That can be fun, too, I guess.
I got my computer desk next to my bed, and I have no place for my 7 remotes, so I have them Velcroed on the wall so I can just reach up and grab them, you know?
Okay.
Very good.
Real quick, we're hoping that sometime you guys could do a Vegas-style show out here. I don't know if that's happening.
You're breaking a prime directive there, sir. Don't ask when we're coming to your town, please.
Yeah. Somebody better tell his friend he's never buying that house.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Mike, I'm disappointed.
Why?
Fag.
You mean the dog?
Poodles. No way. Don, you got to inject him with some male hormones.
Now, listen.
He's talk about golf, men's stuff all the time. He's going to be coming in with a tutu pretty soon.
Hey, now, just a second. Those poodles are good dogs. They're wonderful dogs.
Hold on.
I know I was fully aware of the mystique surrounding the standard poodle when I purchased it, but fear not. This is a wonderful, wonderful animal. And the most important thing is I will not be giving this dog the foo-foo poodle cut. That is
Paging Dr. Homo. Paging Dr. Homo.
Fear walking around a neighborhood with that.
Listen,
sure, I'll walk around. I'll proudly display my poodle in my neighborhood. I'm proud of my standard poodle.
Mike is going to bring the dog in someday soon, and I'll give it the once-over.
Once he stops puking in the car, I will bring him in, and the breeder told me that he goes through that little phase, and then he gets over it when he gets older, so I'm going to bring him in. I'll bring him in when he's a little bigger, too.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Not so poodle.
Hello.
Hello.
After you inject him with the steroids.
Yes, when I give him the Arnold test.
Grow, damn you, grow.
And the poodle will come in and say, no erections.
Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
I was just calling to tell that, Mike, well, we just recently got a puppy, a chocolate lab, which I think is a real dog. But I hope he has better luck with the poodle training than we did. But the main reason I was calling is that, Don, you had mentioned that you saw Payback, and I was wondering if you noticed anything funny about the phones on that movie.
They're all rotary dial.
I mean, even the ones in the cars.
Yeah.
Did you notice that when he was pulling out of the trunk?
You mean the very last scene of the movie?
Yeah, when he's coming out of the trunk and he pulls the phone off, and it's like one of those old-fashioned rotary dial phones.
Yeah.
And I was just, there was never any mention of it in the movie, and I just thought that was really weird.
I wasn't even.
You noticed it.
See, that happened right after they smashed Mel Gibson's toes. And
did they smash between his toes?
The last 15 minutes are kind of a blur to me because that was a real good scene, and I was just kind of rejoicing in that.
About the smashing toes?
Yeah.
Did they show a toe getting smashed?
No, but.
But the results?
He really sold it.
Yeah.
He really sold it.
That's a good actor. That's what a good actor does.
He's sitting in this chair, and his face is all bloodied and black and blue, where they've just been beating the crap out of him, and they say, okay, and they pull this big metal hammer, and they say, if you don't talk, we're going to start breaking your toes. And they go, what do you have to say? You're going to tell us where Johnny is? And he goes, he's all beat up, he can barely talk, he goes, this little piggy went to market.
Oh, man.
This is like his way of saying, F you.
Yeah, go ahead, tough guy.
And then the guy takes the hammer and boom! And I mean, they show blood splatting all over.
Oh, they show that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Would you have talked, Don?
Oh, absolutely. I would have talked long before that. I'm a huge pussy.
So would I. But you know something? My standard poodle wouldn't have.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, am I on there?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hey, man, I noticed, but a really cool day is coming up soon. It's the birthday of the founder of Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard. There's a huge bash going down at the Church of Scientology by DuPont Circle.
Hey, there's a huge bash going on, Mike.
I bet this guy's going to be in the front row of that.
Hey, it's great. They're having a party in either L.A. or Florida in addition to one March 13th at Saturday night in DuPont Circle. And they're having, like, banners and stuff and being in the news and all. And it's a good way to get exposure to what's probably an untapped crowd for your audience, you know. The
and then I'm not going to be wearing a Napoleon suit, and I'm going to light it on fire.
And you can probably meet, like, Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. And
yeah, Tom Cruise and John Travolta will be there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sure they will, you know.
With their big standard poodles.
My poor dog. My poor dog's in for a lot of crap, I can tell you that right now.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air.
Okay, great. Mike, I was calling to tell you about the Shocker.
Yes.
The Shocker, they have it at Dave and Buster's. It is something. It is the best game I've seen in a while.
I was on the Shocker.
Oh, you were on the Shocker?
That was Don.
Yeah, Mike has the standard poodle. I went on the electric chair this weekend.
That's right. Don's the real man here. I've got the poodle. Don goes on the Shocker.
Shocking.
I thought, Mike, that he wanted to try the Shocker.
Yes, I do. And who's Dave and... Did you say Dave and Buster's?
Have you never been there? That's a place where they have, like, all the video games, like video golf and video basket. It's like an arcade for
adults. Is it around here?
It's over in Rockville.
In Rockville.
Yeah.
It's a great game, but beware, Mike. People are questioning your manhood now.
Yeah.
Once you sit on that thing, you got to hold on, or all the 12-year-old little boys will be laughing at you.
I'll bring the poodle.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Mike's a girly.
Oh, all right. Oh, now look what you made him do now. Look what you made him do now.
Oh, man. Oh, boy, picking on me when I'm down.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hello. Hamilton Burger and Hamilton Joe Frank and Reynolds.
Oh, now that's too
late. You
want to
be the king of the Hamilton.
No,
listen.
Yes, I am the king of the Hamilton.
No, listen, asswipe.
Oh, and he's gone like that. I'm the king of the Hamiltons, not only because I have more Hamiltons, but I own a Hamilton.
That's right.
There you go. Hold on a second. Why, you dummy? Don't you dare hit me in the head.
I want to get that guy's number off caller ID. Hello?
Lara has lots of poodles.
You know what? That's the problem with this show. There are so many people calling now that I can't even get the dial tone to get caller ID.
Who is this guy?
I don't know.
What did you say?
Bilal has a poodle.
Okay. Right. Bilal has a poodle, Mike. Oh, hello, man. Don and Mike Show.
Don, real quick, this might be an I'm dumb thing, but what's that show you like, The King and Queen?
Yes, The King and Queens.
They're on the Hollywood Squares, in one of the squares this week.
Somebody already called and told us that.
So...
You know what I hate about that? The crickets didn't scare that guy away.
Man. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I had a celebrity sighting.
Really? Who is it, please?
Robin Williams.
Really?
Robin
where?
Williams. Where? Oh, hold on a second.
In Sacramento.
Sacramento? Where'd you see him?
At a record store, Dimples.
Dimples.
Dimples. Yeah, I know that.
Dimples Records.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I know that just because it sounds right for this show. I know Dimples. I go in all the time.
Yes, and?
Yeah, he just walked in and had like a Rastafarian hat with all the colors.
Yeah, so as not to be recognized or anything.
Exactly.
He figured it would be good to wear a low-color hat that's like red and green and black.
Yeah.
And yellow.
And the other thing is that they had a big radio contest going on that day there.
Okay.
Goodbye. Yeah, and that was Robin Williams.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'm sure.
Dog?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. Yeah, Mike's dog's not a wussy dog. It's a hunting dog, or at least it was at one time.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
yes, it was. That's the history of the breed.
Yes, yes.
As a matter of fact, the reason...
What did it hunt for? Parasol?
No, they're retrievers.
Parasols, you mean?
Yeah, what did I say? Parasols. You know what I meant. Them girly umbrellas. Yeah,
you know why they have the foo-foo haircuts? And somebody explained this to me that they wanted to keep them so they could have mobility in the water, but they didn't want to have their joints get all arthritic because it was the nature of the breed. So they added fur and they shaved them short where it wasn't, and then they added the fur where the joints were so that this is the true story. Don't look at me like that. I'm telling you this. I know the history of the breed.
I'm not looking at you anyway.
Yes, you are. You
call 1-800-BUTTERFLY-NET. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I just want to defend the poodle for a second.
What?
I want to defend the poodle.
Go ahead, sir. It needs defending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a poodle, and it is mean, man.
I got a poodle.
Give me choke to death.
Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, listen, I got a question for you.
Oh, I'm just looking at what was that in there?
You had some
lung butter come up.
There you go.
Rob, get a baggie. Get that right out to the fans.
My goodness.
Some of Mike's phlegm.
It's going to be worth something in a couple of days.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
You guys rule the planet.
We sure do.
I would like to hear a conversation between Brandy and Hamilton.
That goes something like this. Hello. Very, very sick, and I'm looking for diarrhea. And Hamilton would say, hello, I am far too busy to look for diarrhea. I've always pictured Hamilton sounding like...
You got to give Hamilton a gayer voice than that.
No, I don't.
Hello. John and Michael. Hi, my name's Hamilton.
Oh, my God.
Hello.
Not a Mike show.
I'm a loser. I'm a boozer. I'm a proud 4%er.
Hello.
Don and Mike
they
show.
Have their own song.
They have
now.
A fight song, Buzz.
That's great. It's an anthem. Hello.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to let you know, especially Mike, that poodles are the smartest dogs you can have.
I agree. You'll get no argument from me. The smartest dogs on the planet.
But they're a little queer looking, you'll admit that.
Yeah. Are you talking to this lady or me?
Yeah, well, I already know your feelings on the subject. I was asking her.
I don't think they're queer looking at all. I think they're fine.
They're not.
Fine,
I have strong. One.
Especially a big one. Especially a big, full-size one.
Is yours trimmed, ma'am?
Yeah, it's got a puppy cut, though. It's not real foo-foo.
What kind of poodle? Do you have a standard poodle, miniature poodle, toy poodle? What kind of poodle do you have?
It's a standard.
A standard, big one. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's about 95 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he retreats.
Really? You should call the freak show.
No, that's his regular breed size, you. It's a regular breed size. They get to be that
big. Come see the gigantic poodle!
Well, he's large for the breed.
I'm sure he's beautiful.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm sure he's wonderful.
Thank you.
Bye.
Wonderful poodle. And Hamilton, I'll keep defending you.
Good.
But Hamilton, I got news for you. Anytime your name comes up on this show, you're gonna get a lot of crap. So just prepare yourselves, okay? And stop licking yourself.
Hi, this is Hamilton.
That's going to be Don's voice for you, Hamilton, and I'm very, very sorry.
Let's do a break and we'll come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And you can get news, weather, and the latest news and weather on Fox 5 News at noon. And we'll see you again tomorrow. Do drive safely.
All right, we're in the victory circle. I can't get it. Here it comes. Hey, take it. Yeah!
The Don and Mike Show.
Va, 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 darling. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello there, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
It's John now from Louisiana.
Yes, John.
I've heard a couple of people so far on your show from Louisiana. It seems like every time somebody from Louisiana calls up, it's always got something to do with dogs. But it's like Louisiana.
Well, you're going back to the peanut butter incident, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Some, you know, we get a pretty high volume of calls from Lafayette, Louisiana, and it seems to me that there's always something very interesting said during those calls.
Oh, yeah.
We got the Saints here, and I don't believe they should call the New Orleans Saints. Might as well change them to the Dogs.
The Dogs, you disappoint. Well, the Saints won last year.
2-0.
Yeah, no, they're great. I'm just saying, everybody in Louisiana, it's always...
Oh, I got it, because you're always talking about dogs. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Dogs.
There's
okay.
Not too many saintly people around here.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Maybe they are preoccupied with dogs.
Hello, Don and Mike. Maybe you're preoccupied with dogs, sir. I don't think Ditka's preoccupied with dogs.
No.
I'm pretty sure Ditka's never done the peanut butter trick with his dog.
I don't know.
Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not. Now that I think about it.
You mention it, and then you mention the peanut butter, and then I play the mental picture. And
maybe
I,
so.
You know.
Maybe Maura, too. When he was real wound up. When he was like at his diddly-poo stage.
Not Vermeil, though.
I think there would be a chance for Vermeil, yes.
Who would be the number one coach in the NFL that might do the peanut butter trick?
All right, maybe Wade Phillips, the big fat coach of Buffalo.
Yeah.
Let me go through all the teams.
It's tough, you know, you got to find the...
All right, now, what we're talking about is the call that we took from Louisiana where a guy said to arouse himself...
Mm-hmm.
That what he would do is put peanut...
Absolutely.
So you got to have somebody that's wound pretty tight, okay?
You have a guy, and it would be the, you know, not somebody who's necessarily obvious on the surface. Mm-hmm. Somebody you think when the doors are closed.
Not Cower.
No.
No way.
No, I just think too...
Bill Cower, no way. Too straight-laced.
Too straight-laced, absolutely.
Not Norv. We know Norv.
No, I don't think so. Norv, you know, just too white bread. Absolutely not.
Not Ray Rhodes.
No.
Philadelphia.
No way.
Maybe Holmgren, but I think he's a hard ass, so no.
Yeah. You
Bobby Ross is a redneck, no. Mm-hmm. Dave Wanstedt, too high-strung.
A lot like Cower in that way,
yeah.
I think.
Jimmy Johnson. No, I don't think so. Not Jimmy Johnson.
Oh, I think so. Down there in the Florida Keys on his boat. Maybe
I don't
the hound
think
dog
so.
Nobody's watching. Come on! Come on!
Yes.
That's the way Jimmy likes it.
I don't think
Jerry
so.
Jerry Jones now, definitely.
Oh, no, yes, okay.
All right, I've got an Irish wolfhound that I bred specifically for his peanut butter eating.
How about Parcells?
Yeah. Always angry, probably the only time he's happy.
Yeah. And I'm home. Where's the dog?
Where's Blue?
My dog's Blue. And I know that he's retired, but you got to know Buddy Ryan.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Mother, I'm home.
Absolutely.
Where's Ditka? And I'm sure that's what he named his dog, too.
Big old hound dog.
Hello.
Sits under the porch.
Don and Mike show.
Waiting for Skippy.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Good. Hey, I was out Saturday night. You know, I'm up in Sacramento. We just had that celebrity golf tournament up here.
Yeah, hold on a second. Hold on just a second. Let me just go through the NFL coaches real fast and see which would be most likely to put peanut butter in his butt and have a dog lick it out while he works himself.
Okay.
Arizona? No. Vince Tobin?
No. Very straight-laced.
Atlanta? Dan Reeves? No way.
Nope.
Carolina? Dom Capers? Don't think so. Chicago covered it. Dallas covered it. Detroit? Green Bay? Minnesota? Dennis Green, wild card.
I believe Dennis Green has a wild side.
New Orleans covered it. Ditka, maybe. How about the Giants? You're a Giants fan. Jim Fossil.
No, Jim Fossil, very, very straight-laced.
Philly, Ray Rhodes, we don't think so. St. Louis, Vermeil, possibly. Mariucci in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. That guy's so good-looking. That guy could get all kinds of poo, and he doesn't need a dog.
Yeah, but just, you know, you get caught up in the lifestyle out there.
Pogrom.
Mariucci is like movie star handsome, I think. If I was gay, I'd do him. Steve Mariucci. He's got some killer eyes, man.
Oh, I didn't know you felt that way about
Tampa
that.
Bay, Tony Dungy?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No way.
And Norv, no. Okay, now let's go to the AFC.
All right.
The Anal Football Conference. Baltimore, Ted Marchibroda.
Too old.
Okay.
And, you know, it still weirds me. I was watching that Baltimore game, and he comes over, and he's yelling at one of his players that did something stupid. And it really just, when you get a coach that's that old, you know they're looking at, you know, get out of here, old man.
Buffalo, Wade Phillips, I say a possibility. He's a
absolutely
big, fat, sloppy
sure
guy. Cincinnati, Bruce Coslett?
No, I don't think so.
Too type A. Denver. What about that guy, Shanahan?
Shanahan really could be, to me,
maybe
could be a football coach or he could be a priest. That's the way I think. Wow. So
I think maybe Shanahan, like, with a poodle. with a chihuahua.
Little toy dog.
Let me see. Indianapolis, Mora. Yes.
Yeah, and he wouldn't call it disgusting.
Here's a tough one. Commandant Coughlin, Jacksonville.
Absolutely. I think Tom Coughlin, you know, with those...
I don't think Tom Coughlin's ever had sex of any kind.
You might be right. You know, when you see those little rat eyes that he has on the sidelines.
He's like asexual, I think.
Yeah, he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't even have parts.
All right, what about Kansas City? Schottenheimer.
Marty Schottenheimer?
Yeah.
Takes the glasses off? Yes, there's a distinct possibility.
I might agree with you. Jimmy Johnson, we disagree there.
Okay.
Although the more I picture him out on the boat, the more I think maybe it could happen.
Oh, come on now. Come on, Skipper.
Okay, New England?
Pat Carroll. I always call Pat Carroll Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll Pat Carroll.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Jets, Parcells, we've decided yes.
Good possibility.
Oakland, Jay Gruden, is that his name? John Gruden, young guy? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. He's like Mariucci.
Mm-hmm.
So dreamy.
Is that the guy that Buddy Ryan hit?
No.
Okay.
That's Kevin Gilbride, coach of San Diego.
Okay, all right.
He's a prime candidate, I think. Big fat guy. Very, very stressed out. Pittsburgh Cower, don't think so.
No. Nope.
San Diego, Kevin Gilbride, maybe. Seattle, Dennis Erickson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Probably at halftime.
Sure. And he may have one of those nice little cabins, you know, out in the Pacific Northwest.
And Tennessee, Jeff Fisher. I don't think so.
No.
Too high strung.
Absolutely. So not many. Not many NFL coaches would try the peanut butter trick. There are a few candidates, and you never know for sure unless you're a fly on the wall.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, listen, what were you calling about? I'm sorry. We went through the entire list of coaches there.
Up in Sacramento?
Yeah.
And we had the celebrity golf tournament up in Granite Bay this last weekend.
Yes, sir.
So we had a bunch of the sports guys up here. Saturday night I was over at a club, a local club, and Charles Barkley and Jim McMahon were in there.
Hey, two of our absolute favorites.
Yeah. Two of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet.
And that's no lie. We love both of those guys on the show.
What?
I love Charles Barkley and all his quotes. He was just lit up. And I went up and I said hello to him. It's kind of sprawled out all over the table there. And I said to him, hey, I love your quote. It's all over this radio show I listened to from years ago. F you and your family. Well, I don't think he got the part where I was complimenting him. And his eyes got all crazy. He goes, what'd you say? I said, I like when you, and I repeated
it. You know, you went out to him when he was lit. That's about the dumbest thing in the world. Because that's obviously the worst thing he can say. Say an F you to him and his family.
When he's drunk.
When he said that, he was mad, you see?
Yeah. And what you're saying is... And you approached Charles Barkley when he had a few beers, right?
Well, you know, he was at just a club. I mean, it's Sacramento.
Let me ask you a question. You know. Let me ask you, did you say F or did you use the word?
No, actually I said F. I didn't use the word. I was a little scared.
And did you explain to him that we mean it as a compliment just so Charles Barkley doesn't ever come after us?
Yeah, at this point, you were right. I should have known better because he'd been drinking. And you could tell he'd been drinking. And he wasn't grasping anything. All he would hear was when I'd say the quote. And then I could see he was getting very upset. And I just said, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to excuse myself. I walked the hell away. I see where he's throwing guys through windows and stuff.
I can't imagine why he would get mad at that.
Thanks.
He'll probably beat our ass.
We love Charles Barkley.
You know, picture Charles Barkley. He's sitting there. The guy comes up to him, and he probably, you know how you know, you're not paying attention to people and what they're saying. It's a crowded bar.
Yeah, and that cuts through, and your family.
And that's all he hears and goes nuts. What did you say? I'm Charles, I'm really fanning.
What'd you say, Whitey?
F you and your family, too.
Yeah, so anyway, Jim. Hey, I was talking to this chick.
Oh, hey, Charles.
I don't know if we're going to go on strike or not, man. I have Michael Jordan coming back. I don't know.
Excuse me. Mr. Barkley?
What is this? I can't hear nothing.
Oh, yeah, I just want to say, Mr. Barkley, I really like what you're doing. Hey,
F you and your families, too.
What, Whitey?
Then the guy gets scared and runs.
Right.
Oh, man, that's great.
All right, quick break. We're coming right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
New in the building?
Yeah, I just moved in Monday.
Oh, you like it so far?
Mm-hmm. Everybody's been real nice.
Well, that's because you have big jugs. I mean, your boobs are huge. I mean, I want to squeeze them. Mama.
It's the best of Don and Mike.
David Hayline, walking in the hallway a moment ago, gave me the best compliment I think he's ever given for the show. He said he was listening to the woman in the bathtub as he was driving along in his car.
And he get a boner?
Yeah.
Well, probably so.
You know what I mean?
David Hayline gets a boner when he takes a crap in the morning. He's pretty easy to arouse. But yeah, you're nice. You're right. It was a nice compliment.
Yeah, because I knew it was sincere when he said that. Hey, you know, that girl in the bathtub, his eyes all wide.
I get a boner.
You think you worked it? Oh, God, that I don't want to even think about. That or done.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In a landslide.
Hello there.
Hi. I wanted to let you guys know that Jerry Ellison for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is number 37.
Oh, you know what? Thank you for that. And, Mike, you were right about
Larry Centers. Wow.
From Arizona.
Wow.
We've also had a lot of people call and say the great Gerald Riggs. who played for the Atlanta Falcons and the Redskins, who was a number 37.
All right.
And Pat Fisher, who was a cornerback for the Redskins back way in the 70s, was another good number 37.
There must be more 37s out there, too, I would think.
I'm sure they are. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Calling from the Goodyear Blimp.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Buddies.
Hello. Hey, buddy.
Hello, buddy.
Hi.
This is Beth of Strip Trivia and Bayou fame.
Oh, hello, Beth.
Buen Arbuso.
Is this Beth like the workout lady?
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, bravo.
I got a great story for you guys.
Oh, you know, we gotta do a strip trivia pretty soon. We haven't done a strip trivia for a long time.
We haven't, and I'm disappointed. And I needed a place I can get naked. Okay.
Yeah, good for you.
So we gotta do it like in D.C. or someplace like that.
Okay, Beth. All right.
I got a great story for you guys.
Yes, ma'am.
I take my buddy Doug, okay, it's his birthday, and this is the kind of friend I am. I take him to the Crystal City restaurant, okay?
Oh, you mean the strip club?
Yeah, it's a strip club. And I become very, very
drunk,
friendly-like with the dancer, okay?
Oh, with the dancer.
Just so happens that her name is Beth as well, and we kind of like build this camaraderie, okay?
Yes.
So I tell Doug that I'm going to get him a feel, okay? I'm going to cop him a feel from this dancer.
You mean that
he's looking at me, and Doug is so shy.
You mean that you are going, now do you mean that you're going to cop the feel, or that you're going to allow him to cop the feel?
I'm going to allow him to cop the feel, okay?
On the dancer?
You're going to be the middleman?
I'm going to be the middleman, okay?
So you're going to, hold on, slow down, Beth. Yeah. You're going to allow him to touch the dancer.
Yes.
You're going to negotiate with the dancer and say, my friend wants to cop a feel, and that's how he's going to get to do it.
Right, but
okay.
It was done so much more tactfully, okay?
Oh, I'm sure it was, Beth.
If she joins the table, okay, because now we've built this friendship, okay?
Right. Yeah.
And I tell her that, you know, I'm pleased with my breasts, but, you know, I've thought oftentimes of getting the boob job, okay?
And I believe everybody in this room is very pleased with your breasts.
Absolutely, yes.
We've seen them a couple of times, yeah.
Well, thank you for that compliment.
Yeah, just, you know, our two cents, your body does not need to be enhanced artificially.
Fine. Well, and you guys are wonderful. I love you for that compliment.
And as I recall, isn't your body Helen Huntish?
Yes.
God, I don't know, man.
Yes,
I don't know if I can take that as a compliment or not.
You're very wiry.
Oh, I love Helen Hunt. You're very muscular. Mm-hmm. I remember you.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I get psyched.
I take him to buy a thong with me, okay, because I'm going on vacation. And I actually allow him to see me in this really sweet little thong.
Oh,
but anyway, you know, I digress here. Anyway, so she joins the table. And I said, you know, Beth, I said, you know, I've been thinking about having a boob job myself. I can say boob, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Repeatedly.
I said, I've been thinking about having a boob job myself. But, you know, my concern is that, you know, there's less sensitivity in the nipples. I'm a little concerned about that. And I said, and, you know, I've heard they don't feel quite right. Okay?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You think David Hayline's getting a boner now?
She says, you know, well, go ahead, okay? And she unbuttons her very, you know, scanty little top she has on and, you know, offers her breast up to me.
Oh.
And I reach over the table and I give it a squeeze and I say, you know, that actually feels pretty good, okay?
Is she right?
Right.
Now, she's unaware at this point that I am then going to look at my friend Doug, who is just so shy. And I look at Doug and I say, Doug, go ahead. Take a feel. You tell me what you think.
Oh, my God.
And?
Doug reaches across the bar, okay? Gives her quite a bit more of the feel than what I gave her.
Right.
Okay?
Really?
And he has this you know, face on.
S-eating
like,
grin, right?
Yes.
S-eating face.
Right. He's very happy.
Beth, you are now my goddess. Okay?
Wow. What a friend.
You are pretty open-minded about that.
Yeah. What a friend.
Oh.
And the dancer was cool with it?
Oh, she was absolutely wonderful. And
wow.
As he was copping the feel, the waitress joined the table, and she said, it's a free-for-all. Let's just all grab her boobs. It was wonderful.
Something that never happens when we've gone to strip clubs in the past.
That's because we have that look on our... We have that look on our face that says, stare.
Well,
stare,
you gotta go
pretty
with
ladies.
You. Okay.
We gotta go with you, yeah.
Oh, and also, there was like a double chick, like dance thing, and I talked to them, and they tentatively agreed to come to the studio and perform for you guys.
Hey, Beth?
Yeah.
This was a good call.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Why don't you come down tomorrow?
I love you guys.
We love you, too. Yeah, well, why don't you come down today? It's only quarter after five.
Well, you know what? I'm going to the chiropractor.
Oh, but there's a lucky chiropractor.
Well, you want to come down? We'll walk on your back.
All right, then I'm there, okay? Right, I'll cancel the appointment. I'm there in a heartbeat.
You're always welcome here, Beth.
I love you guys.
Great
I'll
story.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Beth.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Man.
Oh, she's hot.
Now, okay, where do you rank that? I rank that above the lady in the tub.
Yeah.
There's just more action, more activity.
No, I go with the lady in the tub still better because of Doug, because there was another guy involved, and the lady in the tub was just the lady and the tub.
I don't know, but walking us through the whole,
the whole story.
Unbuttoning her little thing there, and then, oh, my.
Where's the employee list? I want to call David Hainline and ask him on his scale how turned on he was by that. You got the list there, Rob?
451.
Well, you know it by heart, huh? Oh. He's probably on with a client.
I call the sex line.
How you doing? Can I cop a feel?
This is David Hainline. Hi there. My name's Dave. How are you?
How are you?
What school do you go to?
I was listening to Don and Mike's show, and I got aroused.
David?
Oh, David.
He's the one we call Dobie Gillis.
Mm-hmm. We've known David probably longer than any other sales guy on the staff.
He's the guy, remember, that had his feelings crushed recently when I was deciding about who was going to come over to my house to play poker or not.
Oh, that's right.
And he didn't make the cut.
He's goofy.
Oh, crap. All right.
David?
Who's his desk next to back there?
Tim McWilliams.
Is it really, or is that just an excuse to call Tim McWilliams?
No, actually, it is close to Tim McWilliams. But it's also an excuse to call Tim McWilliams. Hello there.
All right, you can't do my voice.
Oh, yeah, Mike and Tim McWilliams.
Tim, this is Don and Mike.
Donny.
Hello. Hi, Tim, how are you?
Hey, Mikey.
Hey, Tim.
Yes, sir.
Do us a favor, please.
You got it.
Put David Hainline on the phone there.
Now, we need to talk to Hainline.
All right, I got to put your phone down. Try to find him. Hold on, all right?
Okay, Mike does a perfect impression of Tim McWilliams. And the other day in the hall,
Hey, Big Don, how you doing?
Tim McWilliams comes by and says, hey, Mike, you just don't have my voice down.
I said, you're right about that, Timmy. There's no question about that. I can't do your voice. How can I?
My favorite radio personalities.
Hey, Dobie.
Yeah.
Hey, David, I understand you got a boner today.
Well, thank you. it's nice that I can talk in confidence to you guys.
Oh, did you want our conversation to be in confidence?
They never are.
Oh, man, I'm sorry I forgot. Right,
listen, here's
I guess
the question.
I didn't hear that.
Were you just doing some business or were you listening to the show?
I was actually trying to sell your show.
Okay, because we just had a lady call. Beth, she's been down to play strip trivia before, and she was describing going to a strip club.
Oh, you heard it. Okay.
Yeah. So the question is,
I agree with Don.
Okay, so the water, the lady in the tub, Don.
Thank you.
Lady in the tub.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
See you later.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. David Hainline. And I'm positive.
He's going to have to live with this boner for a long time.
Yeah. I think so, Sunday. Listen, we have to do a break.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.